WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my head.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all have become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And, well, if you're listening to us over at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net, thank you so much for tuning in. And, well, I really shouldn't even say evening because, well, this is pre-recorded. We're not airing this live. So, hi, everybody! You know, if you hear explosions in the background, I'm so sorry. But this is how we do in America this week, this entire week, this whole week. Things just blow up at random. So sorry if there are any explosions in the background. I'm your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I got nothing. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can comment when you listen to this, as Lindsay mentioned. This is the podcast edition of the Rack Radio Show because Lindsay is on the road somewhere when you're going to be listening to this.
So, I am going to Nashville, y'all.
So if you see her driving down the highway when you're listening to this, say hi.
Wave to me.
Just wave to her.
Just don't wave too hard because my mom's going to be with me.
So do that. So this is why we're doing a podcast. But hey, that's okay that it is a podcast this week because we have a stacked show tonight, including, when she mentioned Wrestling Figure Photography, follow Journey Today, Instagram.com/MBG1211. We have MBG1211.
Yes, we have the one, the only, the Matt Goldberg. He will be joining us later in the show to preview Great Balls of Fire, as well as talk some toy news, because, well, there's some things he and I, we need to discuss.
This is a factual statement.
Did you know? It's too awesome for words. We would normally put it in this news, but no. We're going to talk about it later with him.
He broke the story, so we might as well give him all the deeds.
Exactly. So we have just a couple news stories brought to you by our friends over at FightBoot.com and Gerwick.net. Check out FightBoot.com when you get a chance. They're amazing. So quick note on Tommaso Ciampa, and it is very unfortunate news for him. As we all know, he's out with an injury right now, and it looks like he's not going to be back anytime soon. He will actually be out until March of 2018, and that's an estimate.
He could come back a little earlier, but it appears the 9-month recovery time is what is going to hit him, and that sucks because he was ready for a big push, and the injury came at the worst time. And it's one of those things where he got injured 2 days beforehand, right? The big match at TakeOver. And then, because he was covering for the one injury, he suffered another. And that's the horrible news about it.
But if they play this right, they could do something really cool with this, where it's like his whole thing when he gave his speech a couple weeks ago, or I guess now a month or so ago at NXT, was that, well, I'm not going to be replaced, right? Well, now it's he's been forgotten. Everybody's forgotten about Tommaso Ciampa. You know, nobody remembers him because he's been replaced. So now he can come back with a vengeance and make sure people never forget him. It writes itself. I mean, you know, come on.
It is storytelling that easy. Like, it writes itself. Yeah.
So, sorry to hear that Tommaso's out that long, but hope he recovers sooner rather than later. And another quick update on one Tyson Kidd, who we have not seen or heard from since his neck injury a few years ago now. It's happy news for him. No, he's not getting back in the ring, but he's being transitioned to a new role within WWE, and that is a backstage producer, so congratulations to him.
This will be a great role for TJ, for Tyson, whatever you want to call him, as he now gets to impart some knowledge onto the talent. Hopefully he works with the Cruiserweights. That would be really cool. Maybe
that'd be awesome.
Give them some advice. And just in general, it's good news for him. He's back on the road. He's going to be working both Raw and SmackDown taping. So, you know, he can spend some time with his wife on the road again. And that's
what counts. Wait, which wife? There's Cesaro and there's Natty.
That's why he's on the road on Raw and SmackDown. You got it?
He gets both his wives. All right.
He does get both his wives. And he will be returning to Total Divas as well.
Awesome.
So that's good news on the TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd front. So it's good for him. He's back on the road and getting him back in wrestling, which is where he should be. Even though he physically can't get back in the ring because of the injury, it's good that he's still a part of the company.
Yes. Yes. I mean, he had kind of gone quiet for a while and everybody was unsure about him and what was going on with him and if he was going to get back in the ring or not. And a lot of people were concerned about his neck. And the last time we really saw him was on Total Divas a couple seasons ago now. And he hasn't been heard from since. And so this is very happy news. Glad to hear that he's finding a new role, that he's recovered enough to have this role, which is awesome. And also that he's coming back to Total Divas because I think he does add something to the show.
Oh, yeah. So. He gives someone to hang around with Natty with, and Natty always needs a partner in crime, so it's good for him.
Yes. Yes, it is. So that does it for the news, and now we're going to talk a little SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Where shall we begin?
Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are on SmackDown, y'all. They made the show. I'm very excited about this. Very, very, very happy. They found my boys. They put them on the show. I got to see them. Made me happy. Now push them. Please. For the love of God. Push them. Or if you have to push one, push Luke. Give him all the things. Followed by Eric.
So what did they do on SmackDown?
They fought in the main event, which was a battle royal for Kevin Owens, I don't know, it was a number one contendership, right?
Yes.
Or was it just a Kevin Owens on a pole match? I'm not sure.
They were fighting for Kevin Owens' love, a.k.a. the United States Championship.
There we go. It's so awkward when they fight over someone, you know? It's like they're fighting for their hand in marriage or something, you know?
Well, when it came down to the final two, you know. Anyway.
Oh, when it came down to the final two, Kevin Owens is sitting there like, FML. Just FML. Hello, darkness, my old friend, the whole thing.
You mentioned Luke and Eric. They eliminated some people.
They did eliminate some people.
But then they got eliminated themselves, which was sad.
It was sad.
It's like they could go on to a feud with the Hype Bros or something.
Well, if they did that,
that would be awesome.
I would be okay with that. I would be 100% okay with that, because they need to find each other and do something. And, you know, Luke, for the love of God, you need to help Eric, because he's just getting weirder by the day.
Okay, so before we get into the finish of the Battle Royal, we should mention that earlier in the evening, it was AJ Styles versus Chad Gable getting a shot at the to be in the Battle Royal because Kevin Owens was complaining that neither one should be in it. So Daniel Bryan had made a play-in match to get into the Battle Royal, which AJ Styles won, so Chad Gable was out. AJ Styles and Chad Gable was an awesome match.
AJ Styles versus Chad Gable was a fantastic match, although I'm a little scared about Jason Jordan because where is Jason Jordan?
He got eliminated in this Battle Royal at some point.
I know, but I don't like that they're pushing Gable and Jordan separately. Put them together, let them be a thing. Do not break up American Alpha, or we will all cry.
So the final three were AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, and hey, they found Ty Dillinger.
They did find Ty Dillinger. This is like they found the entire mid-card, and they put it in this match. Right. So you're sitting there, and you're like, oh my god, there's everybody that we love! And they're gone. It was so sad. It was really, really sad. But Ty did make it to the final three, and then Ty got eliminated.
It was down to AJ Styles and Kevin Owens fighting for the love of Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn lost. AJ Styles won. And Kevin Owens then tried to attack AJ Styles, but AJ Styles hit the Pele, and Kevin Owens bowed.
Bye-bye, Kevin. And so we have AJ Styles facing Kevin Owens for the United States Championship at some point.
At Battleground.
At Battleground. There we go. There's the some point right there.
I bring the facts.
He writes this down.
I know. I remember this stuff.
Yes, but we all know alcohol's involved, so.
I understand this. So, other cool things that happened on the show. We got introduced to a brand new backstage interviewer tonight.
Dude, Renee Young needs to watch out. Because, man, this girl, she had it going on.
Tanae Young is taking over the world.
I mean, damn. Just damn. And that makeup game, so on point. That eyeshadow so matched the 5 o'clock shadow.
So, yes, Tanae Young, a.k.a. Tyler Priest, was interviewing Ty Dillinger. It was weird and awkward and fun at the same time.
With Fandango lurking in the background as a creepy construction worker.
Because, you know, backstage at a wrestling show is a creepy construction worker all the time.
Actually, it took us a minute, because they showed him, right? And they showed the dude fixing the wall, right? And you don't pay any attention to him, because it's a backstage shot. And then you see Tanae walk in, and Tanae starts interviewing, and you see the backstage worker getting closer, and it's like, wait, is that Fandango? That's Fandango! What the crap? Like, you pay no notice to him, and then bam, there is. I like this. I thought it was really good.
I enjoyed it. The other favorite moment of Lindsay in this show, Aiden English beat Randy Orton. Why was this a favorite moment for Lindsay?
Because Rock lost points. But also it's going to go down in the record books as Aiden English beat Randy Orton. Never mind, it was by DQ, and there were steel steps involved, and Rock was going, Randy, please don't lose by DQ. But it's still a thing. It's still going to go down in the record books, Aiden English beat Randy Orton.
I was legit saying, Randy, don't lose by DQ. Randy, don't lose by DQ. Randy, don't lose by DQ. What happens? He lost by DQ, and she cackled.
I did. I really did. It was awesome. Because you were just like, damn it. And then it's, Randall, we need to have a talk.
Yes. And Randall was trying to have a talk with Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal came out. He said the same boring stuff he's been saying forever. And then Randy wants to kick his ass.
Okay. Jinder, honey, if that belt is resting on a certain manly area and it's causing you not to walk properly, then maybe you should, you know, like, lift it up slightly and cinch it tighter. I don't know. Just a thought. Because he walked out, like, super weird tonight. Like, he was constipated or something. I don't know. But, yeah, if it's resting on a certain manly part, just, you know, adjust things accordingly.
So tonight saw the return of everyone's favorite, John Cena.
I love how we just awkwardly transitioned from that. From Ginger's junk to John Cena.
I was not going to talk any more about Ginger's junk. I didn't want to talk about Jinder's junk, but I had to be forced to mention it because of you.
What? You were the one that brought it up?
No.
You were watching it.
No, I didn't. I just said he was walking funny. That's all I said. I said nothing about his junk.
And it downward spiraled from there, did it not? Or did I miss that?
John Cena made his return to SmackDown Live. did his big feel-good speech and talked about all the rumors that people are spreading about his future. He's a part-timer now, right? Nope, he's an all-timer. He said that means Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live, which is why he's a free agent. He'll be anywhere he wants to be. Cena said that if his time is limited in WWE, then he's going down in blaze of glory. He's going to take down all the top names, including Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, I think he said.
He's taken Randy Orton down like 16 billion times over the last 15 years.
I know he said Shinsuke Nakamura. I know he said Kevin Owens.
No, 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 no. John, you stay away from Shinsuke. Don't you touch him.
He mentioned Seth Rollins. He mentioned Shinsuke Nakamura. He mentioned Jinder Mahal. And he also mentioned Roman Reigns. That got the biggest reaction. Never said positively, but it got the biggest reaction of all the names.
Gee, I wonder what they could possibly be building to. Something called WrestleMania, maybe?
Maybe.
Or shots fired there?
Possibly.
Well, it's not SummerSlam.
So, you know, they've been building up this for, what, 6 weeks now? John Cena will return on July 4th?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one person wasn't happy.
I imagine several people weren't happy.
The mighty Rusev was not happy, who made his return to SmackDown Live.
Hey, he finally showed up.
He was asking, where's my commercials? Where's my comeback commercials?
Dude, he said he was going to come back, like, what, a month ago?
Sort of, something like that.
And he hasn't showed up. His wife's been there, but he hasn't been there, so you know.
But he did bring that, he brought that up. He did say he sent messages, but he got no response.
So you get on an airplane and you show up?
The Predators were in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because people are going to yell at me. If I answer that.
No, answer it.
It's just hockey. You can DR it.
LINSWARD on the Twitter.
It's like football. You can just DVR it. Or better yet, you can watch it on your phone.
You don't DVR football.
Why?
You don't.
You can DVR anything. NASCAR, football, baseball, hockey, the other football.
The football.
I mean, it's a sport. It's like, you can DVR wrestling. I mean, what's wrong with it?
Anyway, we had the typical evil Bulgarian running down the USA, and John Cena standing up for the USA and challenged Rusev to a match, a flag match, tonight. But Rusev said, sure, just not tonight. And then later on, Daniel Bryan made it official.
For Battleground.
Rusev did make a mention about, you know, all of us Americans fill our faces with cheeseburgers and hot dogs.
And that's a problem?
Cena said, we also blow things up.
Yes, we do. It's happening all around me, right now.
Yep. So we get that at Battleground. That should be fun.
That should be fun.
We also had a rap battle.
Oh, Jesus, hell, the rap battle. Oh my God. Okay, yes. That was a thing that happened.
Big E was first. We had Wale as the moderator person, I guess. So, New Day had the Rosebuds.
They found them.
The Usos had their own posse. Day Ones, I think they were called.
Mm-hmm.
We had some shots about Big E's boobs from the Usos. We had a shot about Rikishi's ass from Big E. And one thing, here's the nice setup. While I was like, gotta keep this PG. Usos talked about Big Woods being short. They closed by telling E that they want to keep it PG and not to get all rated R like your boy, Xavier Woods.
Yep, they went there. They took the shot. We're all very proud of them for it. Because Xavier was like, oh, damn, son, you gonna go there? Okay.
We took shots at Kingston being Jamaican or not so Jamaican.
Jafakin.
Jafakin me crazy. And then Woods fired back about how we didn't know who Jimmy was until his wife put him on and told Divas.
That's fair.
And told him to get back to doing what they do best. And that's carrying bags for Roman Reigns.
That was a shot.
Usos started pushing. They get disqualified. New Day win the rap battle.
How do you get disqualified in a rap battle?
Because you push. You don't push in a rap battle. You only use your words. You drop some bars.
Okay.
You drop them bars, yo.
Yo.
Faux shizzle. Three syllables.
Okay. Alright, sure. Whatever.
So white.
Yes.
Now, we have one more segment to talk about. And there's a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. Let's talk about the good. Carmella came out. And she, for her Carmel celebration, and she talked about her winning and how everyone, you know, she called all the shots and, you know, that everyone wanted to rewrite history and, well, they didn't because she won. She started talking about Naomi. Naomi came out, their big entrance. She started addressing Carmella and says her eyes are wide open and the glow will be always on, waiting for her to catch in. We should mention the belt.
The belt is awesome.
It now glows.
Yes, it does.
Naomi mentioned someone else wanted to talk to James Ellsworth. That would be Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Well, Bryan was not so happy with James Ellsworth. He barred him from the arena, and Ellsworth asked, however will I get back in? Well, he would be fining James Ellsworth $10,000, which he didn't have that kind of money to burn. Also, he told him not to expect a paycheck for 30 days because he's been suspended. And, if he breaks any of the rules and didn't leave right away, Carmella would be stripped of her money in the bank contract. So Carmella grabbed his ass and they left.
Right. Like you do.
That was good.
That was very good.
Now the bad. SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line. Naomi versus Lana. Okay, I'm going to legit tell you what I saw. None of it. Why? I walked to the kitchen to get a bottle of water. I walked back in the room. Lana had already lost. It took 10 seconds.
Shorter than the last one.
I think the last one was 45 seconds. 10 seconds. She made her tap out in 10 seconds.
And then Lana sat there and cried.
10 seconds. So, building credibility in a challenger, in an opponent, they did not do with Lana. I think the introductions were longer.
Something like that, yeah. They were really kind of sort of just there. Like, it was really kind of... I mean, it was just... I blinked and I missed it. Legit. Blinked and I missed it.
Tamina came out to get Lana.
Because Lana was sitting there like a wounded child.
She's like, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Get up.
Yeah, she's like, get up, let's go.
So is now Tamina the bodyguard for Lana?
I'm guessing so. I don't know.
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out. I don't know. But yeah, it was like, what the crap is going on right now?
So there was a lot of good on SmackDown. The Lana thing is confusing and bad. I would say it was an overall good show.
Overall, yeah, it was a very, very, very good show. I enjoyed it. But again, I'm not sure I'm liking what they're doing with Lana right now, just in terms of all of that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I mean, it's like, I don't understand what the point was of building her like this if you're going to squash her like that in 2 weeks. And I get they're going to put Lana and
Tamina
together, and they're going to try and build something with them, but it's just like, so what was... the last pay-per-view is supposed to be a fluke for Lana, because as you came out there, you had her show her skills, she looked really good. I mean, she's not the best wrestler in the world, but she'll get better. She held her own against Naomi. It was a good match from a lot of perspectives. And then you squash her in 2 weeks. I don't understand what's going on with her. I mean, we all knew she wasn't going to win the title. Like, I get that. And that's fine, but to literally have one match that was 45 seconds and one match that was maybe half that, if that was, yeah, that doesn't do her any favors at all.
I need to mention one more thing, or two more things, about SmackDown, because I just remembered them. One, Shinsuke got attacked by Baron Corbin with the briefcase.
Yeah.
And two, they're building Maria Kanellis and Mike Kanellis versus Sami Zayn, which should be
yes,
fun.
Yes, they are.
Which they had a little production snafu where the video went up, disappeared. But you heard the audio. And it is now sad when Titus O'Neil is the cruiserweight promoting 205 Live.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I get what they're doing with Titus. I get it. They're having him and Tozawa be a thing, and they're building that whole thing up between him and Tozawa and Cruz. But, yeah. Also, get Titus a hat that fits. Please get Titus a hat that fits, you know. I don't think it's that hard, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. We'll have to see.
So anyway, that does it for SmackDown. So when we come back, we will be talking all things Slammiversary. That's right. It happened the 15-year anniversary of Impact Wrestling's glorious pay-per-view. So we'll be talking all about that and Tweet of the Week. You don't want to miss it. And don't forget, later on the show, Matt Goldberg will be joining us. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. End up like a dog that's been beat too much till you spend half your life just to cover it up now. Born in the USA, I was born in the USA, I was born in the USA, born.
who is the greatest Canadian of all time. CB Radio has decided.
They get thrown, get her to the job. But listen, you kid, don't get caught in the Canadian syndrome, where if it's Canadian, it's got to be bad. We're the best. I've been telling you the best.
Oh, Canada.
Fucker.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
But I go out at WrestleMania 10, and I beat you 1, 2, 3, which is what I'm going to do. And you know it, and I know it, and it's only a matter of time. Then that makes me better than you, doesn't it, Brett?
Who the fuck's Justin Bieber?
Jim asked me, oh, is that the Christmas party? I fondled that secretary's breast.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate. Heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I'm a creek swimming, moonshine sipping, deer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening. Longnecks and rednecks are my friends. Women and whiskey, makeup.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But to my friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography, follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at .net, wildtalkradio.com, or rackradioshow.com. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. That has been a long time since we played that song on this show, let me tell you. We're going to be talking all about Slammiversary, but before we get there, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. I until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, so I don't have a lot of tweets this week, 'cause, well, it's early in the week. But Nixon Cole tweeted Trent Seven and said, I like Trent Seven more than most of my family. He's my wife's and I's second favorite person beside each other. Is that weird? Trent goes, I get it. And then SPLX Apparel tweets out, first denim jeans out now, and it's basically acid wash jeans or stonewash jeans. And Trent goes, stonewash? What is this, Saved by the Bell? And then he responds by going, just to clarify, this doesn't make them bad. It just makes them really sexy on your bum. Nice fit, smooth, buy fast, high school, probably. That's called somebody got tweeted. Anyway,
yep.
Danny tweeted Kevin Owens saying, what? Explain this, and it's a picture of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn hugging from the DVD, and Kevin goes, photoshopped.
Spoiler alert, they do hug in the DVD.
They do hug in the DVD, and Sami has to talk nice about him.
He does.
Which probably hurt a little.
Probably make Kevin Owens jump for joy.
Yep. Anyway, that's all I got.
So, on June 30th, Luke Harper tweeted, it's Friday. You know what that means. Chad Dukes replied, honestly, I have no idea. Oklahoma City Police. Thanks for the tweets reporting the theft of Paul George by Oklahoma City Thunder. Our investigative findings, totally legal and very savvy. Basketball tweet.
Yay, basketball tweet.
Mm-hmm. So, someone named Dan, it's a Fight Club debut for the extra talented, and it's one of the people in it is Aaron Solo, which is Bailey's fiance. Okay?
Go Bailey's fiance.
Starkman Jones is the other person in it. Goes, captured our innocence. Bailey replied, did I just see you guys hold hands? Ricky Starks, Starkman Jones, goes, this trip has changed us. I'm drinking coffee and we hold hands now. She replies, you've officially replaced me. He replies with a picture and an emoji. The picture is Sasha Bailey holding up a sign to Sasha saying, marry me, Sasha. And the emoji he used was face with rolling eyes. Her reply was, that's not me.
That's totally you. Don't lie.
In something we're going to cover in a minute. So, Summy VB tweeted, how's your back, EC3? I didn't lay on it last night for a three count, so perfectly fine. #slam15.
Wow.
WWE creative-ish. Pyro, ballyhoo, crowd shot, uncontrollable panic as we realize we have nothing. Fade to black. #RawTonight. Three-man booth. The Cedric Alexander, Alicia Fox, Noam Dar, love triangle has gone Bermuda. #Raw. #205Live. And JJ Williams goes, posted a picture of Bray Wyatt with his arms wide open in the desert. She took everything, man. And that's Tweet of the Week.
And now we're going to talk a little bit Slammiversary. That's right. This past Sunday, Slammiversary 15, presented by Anthem and Impact Wrestling, happened. And I got to say, this was a hell of a show.
Now, before we get into the show, there's news surrounding the show. Because it was a hell of a show.
Yes, it was.
So who presented the show again?
Anthem Entertainment.
Presented.
GFW presents Impact Wrestling, yes. Because, well, as we announced, Jeff Jarrett has pulled the coup of the century and gotten Anthem to basically give him Impact or part of Impact. I don't even know how to phrase this because it's mind-blowing what he did.
So Anthem bought GFW just like they bought Impact. Impact will now be the name of the television show. GFW is the name of the company. Anthem Entertainment owns all of it. That's the breakdown of that. Jeff Jarrett now has points in the company again. So, and he's now the, you know, he's been the president of creative or whatever the official title is. That's his role, and he's in charge of it all in terms of all the creative. Bravo, Jeff Jarrett. Bravo, Anthem. If you've never seen the first episodes of GFW TV, who has, except overseas, the AMPT television program will be available as part of the GFW Impact TNA One Night Only pay-per-view series starting in August. I don't know what it's officially called, so I just gave it every name we can have.
Yeah. It doesn't have an official name or title or anything like that, but...
So that's the deal. So the One Night Only series will have the AMP TV shows starting in August. There's four parts. So there you go. Now, we can get into the show.
Yes. By the way, bravo, Jeff Jarrett, on pulling that off because, again, damn. Just damn. They bought GFW, but he, like Rock said, he gets his share in the company back. He gets to run Impact Wrestling again. Everything's being rebranded GFW. He gets a TV deal out of it. I mean, just damn.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done for all parties.
Well done.
This is good for all parties involved. Now on to the pay-per-view, which aired on Sunday night, live from the Impact Zone in Orlando, Florida. The first thing out of the gate, they got their old guy back.
I popped so hard they got the voiceover guy.
They did from way back in the day.
From way back in the day, they got the voiceover guy, and he was a part of the whole opening package, and he was doing the voice work, and they were flashing clips from the past, which was really kind of unfortunate. Because the majority of the talent in the video package are now in WWE. It's like they showed Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle and AJ Styles and Bobby Roode, Sting,
Randy Savage, Kevin Nash, Bully Ray, Hulk Hogan,
Gail, the Main Event Mafia.
The Main Event Mafia, yeah.
I mean, just to name a few that they're, and you're just looking at going, wow, that's really unfortunate. Like, it's really cool that they did the whole look back and they showed stuff from the original TNA and they showed stuff from throughout the history of the company. But yeah, you just see all the talent that has passed through there and you're just going, wow, wow. And all of them have left. That's really, really unfortunate. But it was a nice walk down memory lane because you're sitting there watching it going, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember when that happened.
And yes, on this show, the Anthem Al made its pay-per-view debut.
Does it have a name? Do they actually name it?
I don't think they ever... I just know it as the Anthem Al. I don't know if they actually officially gave it a name. I know they were trying to. I don't know if they did.
All I know is that thing looked like it was going to murder everybody.
Now, before we get into all the matches, we need to talk about the commentary team. Robert Flores and Don West did an amazing job throughout this entire show.
Can we make this permanent? Can we make this a permanent adjustment?
Sadly, no.
It makes me really sad because they were so, so good.
It felt like they weren't calling a television show, that they were calling an actual sporting event.
Yes, they made it feel big. They made it feel important. It was just really, really, really kind of awesome.
This was Don West's first time back in the commentary seat in a while. This was Robert Flores' first time calling pro wrestling for a 3-hour show.
It reminded me a lot of the dynamic that Tene and West originally had.
Because Flores is the play-by-play guy, so that's what he does. So, you know, he's...
But he even sounded a little bit like Mike Tene. Like, a little bit, not a lot.
Though he did make mention of Mike Tene at some point. Like, he's calling it like Mike Tene.
Yes.
He did make mention of that. But I thought Flores did a great job, because he was a SportsCenter anchor, and now he works for the MLB Network and NHL Network, so... It was awesome to hear, and Don West was awesome. He made everything sound so exciting.
Because it's Don West. How can he not, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So our opening contest was for the Impact Tag Team title. Impact/GFW Tag Team titles. You had LAX. You had Mara Fuji and Ishimori. You had Phantasma and Drago and Garza Jr. and Laredo Kid.
Okay. Drago's cool. Drago is really cool. That's the first time I've ever seen him. I love the costume. I was like, Dragon! This is so cool. He's wings and everything. This is why I should not watch wrestling.
This match had a lot of spots. It was all spots. Spot, 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 spot. When you do this, some of them get sloppy, including some of the breakup of the pins. That's the negative on this one. It's like, there were times throughout the match where they were trying to break up pins and they were weak. There were times when they went for covers and they were really weak. If you're going to cover your opponent, actually put some weight on it. Just don't just say, hey, here's my hand. Put some weight on it if you really are attempting to win. That's me. There were some spots where they were seen out of place. Like, guys just walked into dives instead of, you know, performing, you know, like they're staggered or everything. Well, I'm just going to walk right here into it. It was bad. Maybe it was the camera work. I don't know. It was just... It caught some weird spots. The Gringo Killer on the hardest part of the ring, the apron, looked really awkward from Homicide. I don't know how healthy Homicide is. I don't know why he was up there doing the move. It just really looked like they were, all right, we got to be really, really safe and trying to do the move. I would have just left the move out. It just looked really awkward, but it played into the finish. LAX are your winners.
It made me really happy to see LAX again. Because, again, they're part of that nostalgia for TNA.
Even if it's not the original LAX, you have Homicide. But, yeah, I get what you mean.
Well, you have Homicide, but you also have Conan a part of it, which was cool. I mean, LAX can kind of grow and change and morph, and that's what it does. But just to even have them there in any incarnation is really, really, really cool to see. Because it takes you back, really, to that high point of TNA when the roster was super strong. Not that it's not strong now, but it was just, there's this magical, it's almost like it's the Attitude Era for TNA, where it's like this golden period for TNA where you had all this absolutely incredible talent a part of the roster, and their tag team division was incredibly strong. Incredibly strong. And LAX ruled that division. Ran it. And they were just badass, and they were awesome, and you loved LAX, or you loved to hate LAX, depending on which side of the fence you fell. And so, yeah, just to see them on this show, it's like, yay, LAX! Is awesome.
They do a great job shooting their entrance.
Yeah, they do.
They don't come out the traditional ramp, they have their own little club they come out from. That club has really got redesigned over the years.
Yeah, it has.
Aces and Eights and what have you, Sports Entertainment Extreme, besides point. So, LAX are still your GFW Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions. They're going to get new belts in August on the next live show, August 17th, for those wondering. That match was also under Lucha rules, so it's why it was all spot. You can't do it often, but it was a fun open.
It was a fun open.
You had backstage Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park, and Joseph Park was going over some fine print in the contract. He said, they didn't read it. This match is no DQ. Boris was upset. You idiot. We're going to get killed. But Park's home. Don't worry. And just remember to rely on old friends. Hint, hint. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Nudge,
yeah.
Nudge. So, cool little segment. All right. The second match on the show is Moose and D'Angelo Williams, football player, with Gary Barnage and Austin Dillon, taking on Eli Drake and Christopher Adonis, a.k.a. Chris Masters, for those never seen him. So you had the NASCAR driver and the football player and all that fun stuff. I gotta say, D'Angelo Williams, who apparently only trained a few days for this, looked really, really good in this match.
Yeah, my hat's off to D'Angelo Williams because he got in there, he worked. He was taking bumps, he was doing moves, he was like hitting everything he could, he had a lot of enthusiasm, he was really going for it. And I have to applaud him for that. Because, it's like he's coming in, it's a celebrity spot, he really doesn't have to do much if he doesn't want to do much. But he really was involved in a lot of the match, and he looked really good.
He came out and said originally, like, I'm going to do this, I just don't want to do, here's a move and be done with it. He did moves.
Dude trained. I mean, I'm kind of with the announcers. They're like, he should forget football and become a pro wrestler. I'm kind of with them. I mean, he's got the athletic ability to do it.
Yeah, he does.
Clearly. And he can throw down.
There were he sold pretty decently for a guy who's never sold before. The finish was interesting.
Yeah, the finish got a little messed up.
So he went up, I don't know why there was a table involved, but apparently you're allowed to have a table involved. So he put, I believe it was Christopher Adonis on the table. So he's on the table, Williams goes to the top rope, and he tries to do the splash off the top rope through the table, and apparently he overshot it like by a foot or so, and sort of only the back end caught him, which is why the weight could not go down on him, and that's why the table did not break, it just sort of bent and it fell over. Which, when you're trying to do a big spot with a celebrity, that's not pretty good. It's not what you want. But it happens.
Yeah, but it happens. But, I mean, overall, it was good.
Right. D'Angelo Williams, Moose picked up the win. Afterwards, they wanted to get their moment in. Moose dragged Eli Drake back down. They did a double power bomb through a table to get the spot. So you get the highlight. You get the highlight spot just after the match. So, all good stuff.
I enjoyed this. I thought this was really good.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. Up next, James Storm, Ethan Carter III in a strap match. And go.
This was good. This was really, really, really good. Really enjoyed the hell out of this. Stormy McStormerson showed up. They got cinched together. And I love how, you know, the announcer sold it. It's James Storm. He's seen every trick in the book. And what they leave out is he's done most of them. Like, I feel like that should have been added into this at some point. It's James Storm. He's done everything. He knows every trick in the book because he's done them all. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on. It's Storm. If you've ever watched TNA, you know about Storm.
So, it was a callback to the angle where EC3 tied him up in the ropes and whipped him 31 times with the strap.
Because they got kinky? I don't know. Anyway, Carter was really kind of timid. He was playing up the heel. Basically, they're doing kind of a legend killer thing with him where he's trying to get rid of the old guard in TNA. And Storm is the part of the old guard, even though Loki and Sanjay Dutt are still there.
Yeah, well, anyway.
We don't talk about that.
They're exhibition. They don't matter to EC3.
So, it doesn't count.
So, he played it up with the handcuffs, and he did the switcheroo, and then EC3 got handcuffed to the ropes instead, and then...
I love that. I love that spot so much.
This is where they got kinky with straps and handcuffs, and he whipped him 32 times, with the fans counting along.
Yep. That was a nice spot, because you basically had Storm being like, son, we're not playing this, and then he just starts beating the crap out of him with the strap. Because I feel like they missed an opportunity with this to again bring up Storm's history, where it's like, when Storm needs to beat the crap out of somebody, Storm will beat the crap out of somebody, a la, you know, you look at the Texas Death Match with Chris Harris that he's done, you look at any cage match he's ever done. In any incarnation that he's ever been, the stuff with Bobby Roode, you know, the list goes on and on and on with the things that James Storm has done. Like, if James Storm needs to get hardcore, he will get hardcore.
Did we just have a Chris Harris reference on the show?
Yes, we did. We are talking about James Storm. It's allowed.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Brandon Walker. Anyway, so he hit the EC3's 1%er, got a near fall. They brought on the outside. EC3 went to the outside. He came free of the strap. And the referee was checking on him. Storm got pulled into the ring post. That's key. So, he got him back in the ring. EC3 was performing a 1%er. Storm kicked out last second. Winston, no one's ever kicked out from that move. I recall Lashley doing it, but I forgive Don West. Then, out of nowhere, Storm hit the last call. And then he fell to the mat. And then they were playing up a commentary. It was the ring post shot. He was able to rally up one more time and hit it, but then passed out. EC3 was concerned a little bit, then, you know, pushed the referee aside and hit the Angel's Wings and pinned Storm for the 1-2-3. We had trainers come out. Bob Ryder came out. Okay, so going through my mind in this finish, because this was a good match. It wasn't very long, but it was a good match. I thought Storm was faking it. To the point where, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I hit the move, but I'm going to get up and hit him again. I thought he was going to, you know, pulling the Eddie Guerrero spot.
Yeah, because it's Storm. He always does that.
But that was not what it was. They had trainers come out. He got help to the back. Apparently, they're reporting he suffered a grade 3 concussion is the story they're running with on this one.
I almost would have preferred that Storm was faking it. Just because, you know, he crumples down. Because it's like, I get why they had Carter hit the Angel's Wings to end the match. But it's like, honestly, if you want to sell that Storm is legit hurt, you stop the match. Right there. Storm crumples to the ground. You pull Carter off. Stifler's like, or not Stifler, Heppner's like, that's it. It's over. It's done. We're calling this a no contest. And one, because the feud can continue that way if it's supposed to continue. And two, you can... It just makes it feel more real. The fact that you had Carter push Heppner out of the way, he hits the Angel's Wings, and he wins the match. That was overkill. Because you had Storm take the shot. He crumples. Literally falls into the mat and just crumples. His body just goes limp. It's like he just passes out in the middle of the ring. You know, it's like in no realistic setting would it happen where they would, you know, let anybody touch Storm after that. You know, because it's in reality, it's, okay, that match would stop, medical personnel would be in the ring, and that's how it goes. So it's like the fact that you had Carter hit the Angel's Wings was overkill. You didn't need to do that. That was too much. I didn't like that aspect of it. It's like, if you're going to do that where you have Carter hit the Angel's Wings, it's no. Storm should be faking it. Storm gets up. Carter gets the upper hand, hits the Angel's Wings, and beats him. That's what I felt like it should have been. Instead of, you know, Carter doing what they did, essentially. Because it just was like, it was so unnecessary. You know, it's like there are certain things where it's like, yeah, you're trying to get him over as a bad guy, and yeah, he beat up a defenseless individual, but it's like, that's really not necessary. We know Carter's the bad guy. You know, he's the one that was using the handcuffs. He's the one that pulled Storm into the ring post in the first place. You know he's the heel. We know he's the bad guy. You don't need to overemphasize that by having him beat up a defenseless individual. You just don't. It's really not needed. So, I wasn't a particular fan of the finish of this match, but I loved this match up until this point because I love the physicality of it. I love the brutality of it. They really sold the hatred between Storm and Carter. I liked how they brought up the history of, oh, you know, Carter whipped Storm 31 times, and when they brought the handcuffs out, they brought that up again, and they played that up, and then Storm gets out of it, and you have Carter, you know, basically stuck, and Storm gets his revenge. That was really nice. But, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of this match in terms of its ending. But everything else was awesome.
I just thought he would pop up, hit the super kick, and be done. But nope, that was not to be.
And he can still pack a wallop in that super kick.
Yes, he can.
Boy's still got some strength in his legs.
And now, the most interesting match of the show. Jeremy Borash and Joseph Park takes on Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner. For 50-something years old, Scott Steiner is still in somewhat shape.
But he wore a shirt.
He wore a shirt, which is smart. His guns are not as big, but he still has guns. Okay. So the match starts off with Joseph Park and Josh Matthews, and Josh is trying to beat up Joseph Park. He has no luck. Scott Steiner gets in, wants to go after JB. JB gets tags in Park. Park and Steiner brawl a little bit. Then Steiner, they do a spot where Josh Matthews does a big dive and takes out JB, or takes out Joseph Park, and was supposed to take out JB, but really didn't hit him because JB missed the spot. So, they get up, they're walking up the ramp, Scott Steiner pulls apart a barricade and starts chucking it at them as they run up the ramp. And then the barricade falls into the pit. Then, things got broken.
Oh my god, things so got broken.
Okay, so, we've now gone backstage, and this is the pre-recorded bit of the match in what you, as you can call the Impact Broken Universe, however you want to put it. So they're running away, and they're chasing them in a golf cart. Scott Steiner screaming, calling them fat asses because he does not like fat asses. Park and Borash are like, "We got this, we got this." So they stop, they run around a corner, and they have a fire extinguisher, and they blow the fire extinguisher at Steiner and Matthews. And Steiner's reaction, "It tastes like tapioca." I thought that was funny.
That was good.
Okay, so then they're chasing them in a car. A really slow-moving car. They pulled over a dude who just randomly was there. The guy from previous broken, deletion videos. Steal his truck, and they chasing Borash and Park around. They finally decide, "We're going to split up. One's going after one, the other's going after the other." Matthews goes after Borash. Steiner goes after Park. So, Steiner beats up Joseph Park. But Matthews and Borash end up by a pool. "You want to go swimming? You want to go for a late night swim?" is what Matthews is screaming, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Matthews gets backdropped into the pool. And then Borash does a flip dive onto Josh Matthews in the pool. Nice spot.
Mm-hmm. Very nice spot.
So we go back to Steiner beating up Park, and they throw him into a wall of some sort. It breaks. So, because I'm trying to remember how it all went. Then it was Matthews beating up Borash underneath the water. He was choking him. And then you hear, "Dun, dun, 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 dun." We had a shark in the pool. Who was that shark? Shark Boy. That was awesome.
I popped for Shark Boy. I'm not even going to lie.
It was a nice play-in of the back-and-forth Matthews and Shark Boy had on Twitter. The heated exchange from like 3 months ago. Nice callback to that. Well done by both men. So, Shark Boy showed up, he helped Borash. Since Joseph Park went through a wall, he was down, he was out. But then you see an old friend appear. Happy Slammiversary Day, says Father James Mitchell.
Who's bald now? He's bald. James Mitchell is bald, y'all. Just saying, but again, pop for James Mitchell because it's James motherfucking Mitchell.
He handed him the Abyss Mask.
He's coming for his son.
He came for his son. So we're back live in the Impact Zone. Steiner and Matthews are chasing Boris back into the building. So we're back in the ringside area. It's 2-on-1. Matthews goes for a senton. Boris moved. Boris spears Matthews. Steiner gets back in the ring. He goes to put him in the Steiner recliner, but Jeff Matthews wants to do it. So he does it. Then Sharkboy makes his return to the Impact Zone. Oh, Shell, yeah. He actually said that in order. It was awesome. But he comes out. Oh, Shell music. Oh, Shell, yeah, music comes out. He gets suplexed by Scott Steiner. Scott Steiner can still throw a mean suplex.
Yes, he can.
Then they're putting JB back in the Steiner recliner, this time with Scott Steiner doing it. Then Abyss's music plays, and James Mitchell, for the first time in, almost...
Forever.
8 years? 7, 8 years?
Something to that effect, yeah.
Step back inside the Impact Zone, cackles, and Abyss is in the ring. Mitchell makes his way down to the ringside. Abyss beats up on Steiner and Matthew. Steiner gets tossed out. He's down. And Mitchell hands him a bag. We all know what's in the bag. The tax. Dumps the tax. Abyss hits the black hole slam on Jas Matthews. Boris goes to the top, hits a top rope splash on Matthews, where he punctured his hand really bad. Thirty thumbtacks into his hands. It was not pretty. And Abyss got the win, as James Mitchell cackled. Abyss and Jeremy Borash win. This was corny as all hell, but man, it was awesome.
I really, really, really loved everything about this match. Really, really enjoyed this match because it had everything I love about wrestling in it, honestly. Like, it really did. If you know me, I really kind of like more comedic stuff in wrestling than I like the really serious stuff. Like, I can do serious stuff, but after a while, it's like everything being, grrr, I'm going to kill you. It's like, God, I can't take this. I need to laugh. This match had all of that in this because it's so serious. It's laughable because you have Josh Matthews and Scott Steiner wanting to kill Joseph Park and JB, and JB's like, screw this, I'm out. And Joseph's like, wait for me. You know, and it's like they do the match and the Impact Zone stuff was fine, but just, you know, it's like the stuff backstage where you had the cameo of the guy in the truck from the Final Deletion 2, and you had Shark Boy show up who hasn't been there for forever and a day. You know, and again, pop for Shark Boy, because I love Shark Boy. And then you had Jim Mitchell show up, which, can we just talk about Jim Mitchell showing up?
Go right ahead.
That's huge. Because I remember when Jim Mitchell left TNA, and he was like, I am never coming back. Ever. Like, I think he actually retired from wrestling after that. And he was like, peace, I'm out.
Well, he stuck to his word. He never returned to TNA.
That's correct. He returned to GFW Presents Impact Wrestling.
So there's your loophole.
There's your loophole. Right, yeah, there. I mean, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just your loophole right there. That's it.
But just to see Jim Mitchell back, because I adore Jim Mitchell.
He had his cane and everything.
He had his cane, he had the suit, he had the beard, and honestly, he looks even more devilish bald.
Yeah, he does.
I'm digging the bald look. But yeah, it's like, there he was, Abyss's father, right there, and you're like, yes! Like, I had a moment where I'm just like screaming at the TV going, yes! He's back, even if it's a one-off. I love Jim Mitchell so much. It made me so happy to see him, not only in the one-off, but when he came out with Abyss. Because there's so much history with Mitchell and Abyss that it's like, yes. It's like a final, you know, epilogue-type chapter to that whole saga that is those two. And to see it in reference with Joseph Park, just so perfect. So perfect. But yeah, then it's at the end, you have Abyss come out and you have him make the save for JB. JB and Abyss triumph. You know, it was a really nice finish to the match. I feel really bad for JB and his hands because, God, that had to hurt. One quick note is that West flubbed in this, which I can't blame him. It's when they're running to the back. If you listen to the commentary, they're running to the back and West goes, JB and Abyss want nothing to do with this or something to that effect, but he calls Joseph Park Abyss. But I don't think anybody really noticed that, but just it's something I picked up on. But I adored this match. I loved everything about it. I mean, I don't really have any negatives about it at all. It's just, you know, from, and the main bulk of it was the backstage stuff, but the backstage stuff was just perfect. Because you had those little cameos in there that just echo back to the history of Abyss. Because you had Sharkboy in there, you had Jim Mitchell in there, you had Abyss himself in there, Joseph Park, you know, everything. It was just perfect. Perfect. Loved it.
Which now takes us to Full Metal Mayhem. With, you know, Angelina Love, who talked all about this match with us prior to the show, which you can hear at rockradioshow.com.
Ding!
So it was Davey and Angelina taking on Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards in Full Metal Mayhem. They went spot crazy. They did everything they possibly could. We had thumbtacks, we had brainbusters, we had chairs, we had ladders. I don't know why they're climbing up a ladder when there's nothing hanging above it, but they did. There was a spot where they had Angelina and Davey sat up and they put the trash can on them and they whacked them with the kendo sticks while their faces were in the trash can. Nice spot. But there's a, it ended with, a sunset flip powerbomb off the ladder through a table for Eddie Edwards getting the win, where it looked like Davey Richards took the table leg up the you know what.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really lucky. I mean, really supremely lucky. He landed where he did, because otherwise he probably would have had to have gone to the hospital, because that was an awkward situation.
Yeah, it was.
Very, very awkward situation.
It really, really was. There was also a spot where they dumped thumbtacks in the mouth, Angelina did, to Eddie Edwards.
Because that's safe.
Well, you know, if you're going to do it, you might as well go all the way.
I guess.
I mean, the match itself wasn't the best match, but it was entertaining for the time they got. It felt a little rushed. Just because I think they were a little rushed timing-wise at this late in the show. And they've had to follow the Joseph Park match, so...
I mean, I think this match was fine.
It was fine. It wasn't... It never felt like it... For as personal as it was leading into it, it just felt a little off. Just because I don't think they had... They had like 8-9 minutes. Like, I know everything got about that. It just felt a little rushed.
I think it's because of the way the match started. They sort of jump-started the match with Alicia and Eddie.
Yes, jumping Davey and Angelina.
Yeah, jumping Davey and Angelina during their entrance, and that's really what kick-started the match off. So from the get-go, it was very frantic. But I have to applaud them because they went for it. Like, everybody was just beating the crap out of everybody, which was really, really, really good. I enjoyed that aspect of it. Angelina got a little bloody in this.
Yes, she did.
I felt like the tacks were wasted in this match, especially seeing as we had just seen them.
Yeah, we did.
In the Joseph Park match.
I think whoever, again, this is what happens when you have producers. Maybe they didn't realize both matches were doing the tack spot. So it's two different producers. Something got, you know, wires got crossed. They should never did a back-to-back matches, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I get, you know, it's Full Metal Mayhem and anything goes and that kind of thing, but it just, the tacks were wasted, especially since you really only used them to pour them down Davey's throat, Eddie's throat, and they weren't really an integral part of the match. It's like whenever tacks come out, it's always a big deal because they're very rarely used in wrestling nowadays. So anytime you see some tacks, it's like, oh crap, business is going to pick up. And we had seen them in the JB Joseph Park match where it's like the tacks came out. And it was a big deal when the tacks came out, especially when you have someone like Abyss taking them out, someone who knows how to use them. And I'm not saying that the people, you know, that Angelina Love and Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards and Alicia Edwards don't know what they're doing with thumbtacks. It's just, it's not as a big deal with them. And they just felt really wasted in this. Like, they were an afterthought in this. You didn't need them. Again, overkill in this. That's my only complaint. But, I mean, everything else in this match was, in my opinion, it was good to me because they went for it. You had the girls doing hardcore stuff, which, again, you rarely get to see. They were jumping off ladders. They were going through tables. They were smacking each other with trash can lids. You know, it's just, it all, I really like this. But the finish did feel a little rushed. I will say that. I feel like this needed about 5 more minutes, and it would have been good. Right. It would have been better.
Right, and every match, all the early matches got about 8 to 10 minutes, so it was par for the course. It just felt like it could have used a couple more minutes. That's just me, and apparently Lindsay as well. Anyway, up next, 2 out of 3 falls for the X Division Championship. Low-key, Sanjay Dutt. Low-key got the first fall, Dutt got the second fall, and Dutt got the third fall. By the end, the suit was coming off, thankfully, unlike Monday night on Raw. We did not see all of Low-key's keys. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but hey, that's the reference we went with.
Why is he wrestling in a suit? I don't understand.
I asked you this. I asked this question before. I have no answer.
I don't get the suit. I really don't get the suit. If somebody could please explain to me the suit, it'd be greatly appreciated. But yes, props to the sewing ladies or sewing individuals for reinforcing his pants or fitting them loose enough that he can wrestle in them, because we did not get a full Low-key on Sunday, unlike Monday, where we got a full miss. Just saying.
It was a good match. It was very enjoyable. It was the best X Division match we've seen in a while, but then again, I wouldn't have called it an X Division match. It was just a good wrestling match.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Sanjay Dutt versus Low-key. It's going to be good. You know that. We've seen it a bunch of times before back in the day. If you were watching back in the day, you know what I'm talking about. If this was your first time seeing it, then you're welcome to form your own opinions. But anybody that's seen Low-key and Sanjay Dutt before, you know what to expect. You know it's going to be good. You know they're going to burn the house down. And so it's like, okay, yeah, this was good. You know, but it's exactly what I expected. Which is not a bad thing. It's just, that's what it was.
Exactly. Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion Rosemary defends in the unification match against Global Force Wrestling Women's Champion Sienna. Prior to match, Gail Kim came out. She was there to, you know, be Gail Kim.
You can't do Slammiversary without Gail Kim.
She is a Hall of Famer and former guest of this show, available at RockRadioShow.com. Okay, Sienna made her Pinkies Up entrance, and then Rosemary came out with her zombie women. I thought that was awesome.
The entrances in this match were sick. Especially Rosemary's. I liked Rosemary's entrance. It was nice. It was good. Sienna came out and she had the little crown thing on and she had her pinkies up and she could almost not get in the ring because of her feather thing and her crown. But Rosemary just killed it. It's like, yes! That's cool.
That was a really cool entrance. So the match was good. It was a solid match between the two women. We had Laurel Van Ness and KM interfere, like I mentioned last week when we previewed the show. That would happen.
Laurel, honey, booze. Lay off the booze.
She's been hitting the bottle really, really hard. Just saying. Yeah. Anyway, good match by all involved. We had people kicking out of finishers, which you don't really see in women's matches, but they were kicking out of finishers. And somehow, some way, Earl Hebner's always reffing the women's matches.
He's the senior ref. He gets to.
Apparently that is the case. Allie came out. She had a kendo stick. She chased Laurel Van Ness to the back.
And she was serious about that.
Yeah, she was.
Sienna, she was not playing. This is not that, oh, hey, I'm going to maybe hit the kendo stick. It's like, no, I'm going to kill you in the face. Mm-hmm. You better run.
Sienna hit Rosemary with the title belt and got 2 count. Should mention, reason why Allie was pissed, they had a pre-show match with Allie and her boyfriend, Braxton Sutter, and one other person taking on Laurel Van Ness, Congo Kong, and KM. I can't remember who the other person was on the Allie side. It's slipping my mind. It was a solid match. I was like, I turned on the show. I was like, oh, there's a pre-show match. Cool. Anyway.
An unadvertised pre-show match.
Unadvertised pre-show match. Because I just turned it on. I was like, oh, cool. Early match. Sweet. So she kicks out. We had the Red Wedding kick out. We had that kick out of the title belt. Rosemary cheese blowing Miss and Sienna, who covered her mouth, so it was all over Rosemary's face. Sienna acted like her hand was burning because, that's what the Miss does. Rosemary gets her up for the red wedding again, but Sienna uses the mist-covered hand to wipe it in Rosemary's eyes, and then she locked in the submission and got the win. I thought that was a nice playoff of using the mist backfiring and getting the win. Sienna is now the Global Force Impact Wrestling Knockout Women's Champion.
God, that's a mouthful.
I don't know if that's the official title, but that's how I officially named it.
That's a mouthful, but yeah, this was a really, really good match. Very enjoyable. I liked the use of the outside interference with this. Because you're like, oh, yep, that's predictable. Oh, wait, no, that's not how it ended. Awesome. So yeah, really liked this. Thought it was very, very entertaining. Very good. Both women looked strong, looked good. And yeah, the use of the mist backfiring like that was perfect. If you're going to have it backfire, that's how you do it. And yeah, so Sienna wins. Pinkies out, ladies. Pinkies out.
And then we had the introduction of the founder of Impact Wrestling and Global Force Wrestling, the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett. He's finally back in the Impact Zone, playing the Dixie Carter role. Oh, hey, everybody. Cool. Awesome. Thanks for coming. All that fun stuff. It was cool to see Jeff back.
It's always cool to see Jeff, especially at Slammiversary. So, yay!
I think he was going to do a longer speech, but he looked at the time and went, we're running long.
We got a main event.
And he told the boys, you better bring your A games because the fans deserve it and I'm going to be watching.
Yeah.
So it's main event time. Bobby Lashley against Alberto El Patron for the unification of the Global Force and Impact Wrestling Championships. We had Lashley come out with King Mo and the rest of the American top team. And you have a comment about King Mo. Go.
Oh my God, King Mo. Okay, all right. This is going to sound so wrong. But I talked about it in the preview with what crown he was going to wear. And he did not disappoint me. He wore some Miss America level tiara that was just epic. And I have now since named him King Mo, Mr. MMA. He's beauty. He's grace. He will punch you in the face. Really proud of that. But yeah, just he came out. I was like, oh my God. Like I had a moment. I rock heard it. I had a moment.
Yeah. So El Patron rather came out with his father and a couple other people. His father was the only one still at ringside. And there's a mysterious woman in the luchador mask. Sitting at ringside on the hard camera side. Don't know who it was, but mysterious woman.
Mm-hmm.
But let's turn the page and get to the match. So, they had a really good main event style match. They countered some moves. They kicked out of moves. They, you know, it was everything you wanted out of this matchup. You had El Patron's father get involved. You had King Mo, you know, tease some stuff. All in all, this was a really good match. It will not be better than Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar. Sorry, it's not. But in the end, which was a little weak, after everything big they hit, Lashley was hung in the ropes, he hit the double stomp and scored the pin. It was just so-so finish. But the match was good. There was a lot of teases of who would win. The armbar teases was great. Lashley doing the armbar, because that's El Patron's finish, was a nice tease as well. I thought it was good. Could have been a little bit better. But Alberto El Patron is your winner and champion.
Yay.
Anything you need to add to that match?
It was fine. It was good. I mean, I'm not a particular fan of either man. I just don't necessarily enjoy them, but I think they were fine together. I thought it was a good main event, and the finish, I think, wasn't necessarily the best, but it was what it was. I mean, I really hate that move that Alberto does, where he jumps off the turnbuckle, and it's kind of like a coup de grace, but it's kind of not like a coup de grace, but it looks really dangerous because it's in the second rope, and it just looks like everything can go wrong with that move.
Mm-hmm.
So that move scares the crap out of me every time he does it, because it's like, oh God, please don't get hurt. Because it looks awkward to do, like to take it, because it's like you have Lashley just kind of like lay down through the ropes. That's basically what he did, and then Alberto hits the finish. So it's just, to me, it was like, but the rest of the match was fine.
Overall, this was a really fun show. I thought it was an awesome show because I was entertained for 3 hours. I was not bored. There's been a lot of Impact pay-per-views in the last couple of years that have just sort of dragged by. Feel like a 3 hour episode of Impact on a bad day. And this was fun. Everything was really good. And I mentioned at the top of the review, Don West, Robert Flores made the show awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this was an incredibly strong presentation by Impact Wrestling. they went out there to put on the best show that they could, and I really feel like they did that. It gives me hope for the future in terms of how they're booking it and how they're putting it, presenting it and putting it out there. Because, you know, there were those really dark times with Impact and TNA that you just didn't know, and the booking was terrible, and watching TNA was a chore. But it's like, if this is what TNA is going to be like, then I'm 100% fine with that. I'm perfectly happy with that, because I think they did, they really tried to knock it out of the park, and I think they succeeded. I really, really do. So yeah, awesome show. Well done. Keep up the good work, and check on James Storm.
Yeah, everyone check on James Storm.
Everyone check on James Storm. Make sure he's okay.
But I say we take our final break of the evening.
Alrighty, that's what we're going to do. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about, goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire with the one, the only, Matt Goldberg. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's boots to asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let in love, what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, honey.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And well, if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. Because yes, that music means we are talking Great Balls of Fire, but also, more exciting, we have the man behind Wrestling Figure Photography. That's right, we are joined by one of our favorite guests, the one, the only, Matt Goldberg. How are you doing today?
Awesome. Thank you for that awesome intro and for having me back. It's been a long time.
I know. It's been a minute. Just a minute.
Doesn't feel that long, though.
I know. A lot's changed. You've got a lot going on. Like, you know, we plug your Instagram, but you're also doing stuff over at RussellZone.com right now and so
yep.
much more.
Yeah. Lots going on.
We're still going to get the Oscar mention, right?
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yes. Got to hit that point. Gotta hit that point.
I hope I hit that point too.
We're rooting for you, Matt. We're rooting for you.
Well, thank you.
We knew him when.
That's right.
Right.
But now he's a big shot. He's doing seminars about YouTube and stuff like that. Man, you're all over the place.
Yeah, that's been a pretty crazy ride past few years for sure. So it's always something.
So how was the seminar? What tell us all about it.
Sure. So I was contacted on LinkedIn a few months ago by the company PR News, and I guess they're a big PR website, which I never knew about at the time. But they were having the digital how-to and visual storytelling conference in Chicago, and were looking for popular like YouTubers that they could have come in and talk. And I guess they came across me somehow and asked me if I wanted to do it. And I was really like taken aback by it, because I was like, why are they coming to me of all people? But it was really cool. So I said, sure, of course. And I went down there a few weeks ago, and I was talking with people from the Cubs and CBS and Google and Motorola, and I don't remember who else was there, but I was just shocked to be amongst like these people, and it was really cool. And they had me talk about YouTube and how to grow your brand on there. Mm-hmm. And I just put together a little presentation, and it got really good feedback. Like, all these people were asking me questions left and right, to the point they had to cut people off to go on to the next guest, which was pretty awesome.
It's always good when they have to cut people off and not say, there's no one here to talk to you, so you just need to awkwardly leave the stage now.
Right. Nobody threw tomatoes or anything, so it was good.
But that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, I was pretty nervous because I've never, I guess, spoken to a large group of people before, and it wasn't that large of a group, to be honest. It still kind of felt like just a larger classroom to me, and I did really well once I started talking, because, you know, I could easily talk about it, and it was just really cool, humbling experience, and it sounds like they might have me back again sometime in the future, but I'm not sure yet.
Well, that would be good. I mean, it could be something you can expand out into.
Yeah, definitely. It's a nice resume piece for sure.
You know, as you grow and build and change, and another nice resume piece, like I mentioned it before, is your WrestleZone column, which you're writing, which I love.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you dropped the story this week that you maybe shouldn't have, but it's taking the internet by storm.
Yeah, I think it was the most popular article I've ever written for them. And, yeah, I just saw it on the Wrestling Fix forum, where a lot of the collectors are, and someone posted about it that some website in the UK, I guess, leaked it or something. Like, they had it listed on their site where people could, I don't know if they could pre-order it or what have you, but they had all these pictures. So I was like, well, this is big news. So I was going to take advantage of it and write a little story about it. I mean, I figured since a retailer published it was okay to put out, but no, it just, people are going crazy talking about it, because, you know, it's a big deal that girls are gonna finally get wrestling figures, so to speak, or dolls, Barbies, of their favorite female wrestlers. I think it's brilliant and really cool.
Yeah, explain to everyone, break the news here, what are they going to be doing?
Sure. So they're called fashion dolls, is from what I remember it saying. I'd have to go back and look at it more again myself. But they're pretty much doing dolls with like real hair and clothing and stuff. There's the Bellas, Natalia, Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, and Eva Marie, and Becky Lynch, I think. I don't remember if I left out someone.
Yeah, Becky Lynch is in there, I know that.
Charlotte's in there, Sasha's in there, Natalia and the Bella Twins, and Bailey's in there as well.
Oh yeah, and Bailey. So there's like 12-inch dolls that come with clothes. Then there's, I think, 6-inch ones that might, I'm not sure if they come with clothes and stuff too. But then there's like these superstar packs where, which is kind of like the regular WWE ones, because Mattel made a few of Macho Man and, Roman, I think, was one.
Well, of course, Roman was one.
I don't remember because they haven't made them in a while. But anyway, they would come with an accessory of theirs. So, like, Sasha's going to come with her sunglasses. And I would assume Bailey would come with, like, a headband or something. And they also come with a DVD, like, highlighting some of their career moments. And but those are regular-looking figures, but they look kind of cartoony. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff coming, and then I guess there's this giant playset with either, I'm assuming it's Nikki Bella, where she comes to like a stage and clothes and like backstage like makeup area and stuff. So I think it's really, really cool for little girls. Very exciting and a great move for WWE in the toy industry for sure.
I remember talking to Trish Stratus a couple years ago, or actually more than a couple years ago now, you know, and every time we kind of almost interview a female guest, it's, well, when are we going to get the WWE female dolls, you know, beyond the action figures that we see? It's like, when are they going to jump on this whole, when are they going to do like a WWE Barbie almost, where you can have the clothes and the accessories and you can change things out and you can do that type of thing for the female market and the male market too, because there are some guys that like to play with Barbies. Not judging, that's cool. But, you know, mostly targeted towards women and girls.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's when I saw this break, I actually screamed a little bit because I was like, oh my God, finally. They're finally going to do it. They're putting it out.
No, it's crazy. It's been this long if you really think about it. I mean, you know, they, like you said, they could have made this stuff years ago. Like, you know, what took them so long? But maybe they just felt the market wasn't ready.
Maybe, but it's like with Bailey especially, it's like, right, y'all are missing a boat here because you could make a doll of her and put it out there.
And you got, you're making money for years just on Bailey dolls because she's the market you want to focus on, you know, the little 6 to 12 year old. She's that market, she's that demographic. It's like, this is the perfect doll for her, for that, for her fan base. So it's like, you better jump on that one. And adding all the different girls, which is awesome because all of them have the young fan bases, and they're now gearing towards, you know, the kid, little girls and little kids like that. It's like, this is what you want. And it's like, when they first started with Mattel, what, 4 or 5 years ago, I think it's been?
Everybody's been waiting for it.
You would have figured, okay, right out of the gate, but I guess now they're building the Total Divas brand and all that stuff. It's like, maybe this is the right time. Maybe finally, who knows, they may have been working on this for a long time, and all the prototypes came back. It's like, maybe not. Maybe it doesn't look so hot. And now they're, you know, you look at some of them, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I mean, we've seen some figures over the years. It's like, this is the figure they're putting out? Really?
Right.
I mean, you see them all.
Oh, yeah.
You look at some of those faces like, really? Really? Okay.
No, that's true. I mean, I don't know. Geez, I already forgot what I was going to say. But I know we'll see them more at Comic-Con in a few weeks, I'm sure, which is when I'm sure they were planning to break it.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah, but oh well.
What can you do?
Just more publicity, I guess, but
I mean, look what Kurt Angle just did for the WWE 2K18 video game. He came out early, said something he shouldn't have, and oops, there's the news.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he was supposed to wait till Monday, this coming Monday on the 10th.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, that's when they're going to release the trailer with Kurt and everything like that. And he responded to something on Twitter, oh, it's true, I'm coming to the video game. And everyone who had all the PR stuff where it's like, Kurt, maybe you shouldn't have. And then, here it is, it's official, Kurt's in the video game.
I didn't know that, that's funny.
Yeah, it's because I follow some of that stuff, it's like, yep, we have all this PR stuff, and it's going to come out on the 10th. And it's like, okay, cool, and Kurt dropped it on the Twitter.
Oops.
A week early. It's like, oops, Kurt, sorry. Yeah. But Kurt Angle will be the pre-order wrestler in the new video game coming out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm actually anxious to see what the collector's edition has.
Yeah, because they always do that big.
Yeah, and there's a Finn Balor like statue that I got in the last one.
Yeah, that's it would look really, really cool.
Yeah, so, I'm hoping there's a figure of some sort.
So you're Mr. Toy Guy.
That's me.
What's the best toy you bought in the last 6 months?
Probably the new Ringside Collectibles exclusive Hollywood Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got it last week. And before I even came on here, I was just doing my picture for Figure to Photo on WrestleZone. And it's a figure I've wanted for probably a good 10 years or so. And they finally were able to make it. Even though, of course, with all his controversy, but there was a way around it by licensing it not through WWE, I guess. So they were able to have it made, and it's so cool. The details, amazing. And he has real boas and the cloth shirt. And
nice.
He could change his hands out and stuff. And his bandana comes off, and his sunglasses. It's just so cool. If anybody's a Hollywood Hogan fan, that's my favorite version of him. But
and that's the super articulated figure, right?
Yeah, and it's actually pretty reasonably priced, considering it's from a Japanese company. Like, go on. It's no big deal.
No, I was going to say, because I think they did Undertaker, too, and they've done a couple different ones, haven't they?
Yeah, this Hulk's a different company, but he's a little... He's more in scale with the Mattel than the ones you're thinking of.
Okay.
Those ones are cool, too. They're just slightly smaller, which is unfortunate. So you kind of have to rebuy everybody so they go with each other.
Oh.
It's about making that money. They know what they're doing.
Yes, they do.
Hey, Mattel's got a corner on that one. You know, they just like, they'll change one thing on the figure, and hey, it's a brand new figure, you know, yeah. Come get it, and everybody will come get it. So it's like, for me, it's like, oh, hey, look, they swap Ray's shirt. I don't have that one.
Exactly.
So
they know how to get us suckers very easily.
Yeah.
Wait, he has new color pants? Okay, bye, right? Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Pretty much.
Hey, I had to scour for that SummerSlam edition, dang it. I had to find that.
I'm glad he did. He hasn't had a figure in a while now.
The last one I saw for him was, I think, the one that talks.
Oh, yeah. I have that one. I never
opened. And the really freaky one where he's got the tail.
Oh, yeah. I did not buy that one. I drew the line there.
Yeah. It's like the zombie one and the mutant one. I was like, yeah, I'm not going there with this.
I bought the zombie one because he comes with his vest or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted his vest, but I'll never use that figure for anything. But
you just bought the Barbie accessory for Brian.
That's right.
I feel like they should do that, though. They should put out, like, action figure accessories. You know, put out, like, the title belts individually and all that other stuff.
They used to do that when I was little. That used to be a thing, and people have always asked Mattel to do it, and I don't know why they don't.
I guess because there isn't as much of a market in it. They make more money off of selling the individual figures as opposed to the accessories, but I've kind of seen a resurgence with Barbies, where they kind of backed off of that for a while, and now it's starting to come back. Yeah, so maybe we can convince them to do it for wrestling figures, because I would love to. It's like, this is going to sound really stupid, but I have a collection of figures on my desk, and I like to cycle the titles, which I have one title. It's the U.S. title, so it kind of is the all title at this point, and put the correct title with the correct figure. So it's like, you know, when Bray was champion, I had the U.S. title with Bray. But, you know, it's like, I would love to be able to get, like, the Raw title and the SmackDown title and all the women's championships and, like, all this other stuff.
Sure.
Without having
to buy everybody.
Yeah, without having to buy a figure I don't want to buy. It's like, I don't want to pay $20 to get a title belt. It's like, you know, I'll pay $5 for it or something like that, you know?
No, that'd be cool if they did. I mean, I don't know if you ever see it when you're at the store, but, like, the belts are always the ones that get stolen. It's always kids stealing belts and stuff.
Yeah.
Just sad. But maybe that's a concern. I don't know. Then they could package it better. But
yeah, they could.
No, that'd be cool. I mean, trust me, a lot of people I've seen ask for that. And they kind of did an accessory thing for those, like, mashup figures where you could... I don't know if you remember those. There was a Bray one where you could, like, you could pull their arms and legs off and swap their outfits kind of with their different body parts from each figure.
Oh, yeah. I've got the Bray one somewhere.
Yeah. See, yeah, those had accessory packs. There were like three of them, and then they never... I guess that line died, and they never made them anymore, but...
Well, they were kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best way I can describe it, because it's like, you know, the Bray one was pretty close, but then you had some weird... Like, Kane was really weird, because they had a Kane one, and then they had the Triple H one, and they had the Rock one.
Right.
And they were all just... And then you had the random, like, gladiator guy, and...
Right.
You know, somebody, like, superhero guy, and it's just, they were all these really random things, and you're like, what? This is just a little weird that I can pop, you know, Triple H's head off his body, you know, just a touch odd. So,
no, I agree.
I mean, I'm sure they appeal to some people, but not everybody, because another line that they let die was the Lego line.
Yeah, I was really bummed about that, because I was looking forward to getting some of those. And apparently, Trey didn't know until too late that there was a Hulk Hogan one. He was like the mystery figure in like the Andre and Ultimate Warrior pack.
Oh, wow.
And because I love Hulk, so I really wanted one of him. I got the NWO 3-pack, though. That one's really cool. But it was like his red and yellow one, and I was really bummed. But like, the Road Warriors were supposed to come out. I don't remember if they might have made it, but they're supposed to do like those blind bag sets again, I think, and just they all disappeared. And it's really weird. The whole thing just like went silent.
It was like a good idea, but it didn't execute very well, I guess.
I guess not.
Well, they got it to market, but they think they just got it to market a little bit too late, and also they didn't really advertise it that much. Because I've seen the WWE blind bag stuff. It was actually on clearance at Target the last time I was there, and I almost picked a couple up, but then I was like, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, and, you know, you enter into that market and you're competing with, you know, larger name brands in some cases, like Disney and Steven Universe, which isn't larger, but they've got one that's relatively popular and a bunch of other different things. So you have, you know, it's like if you have the options between WWE and everything else, well, you know, kids may take something else over WWE, whereas if WWE's the only choice, it's like, yeah, okay, maybe I'll take it.
Right. No, so, it's hard at the store, I'm sure, competing for space. And I mean, have you seen those metal WWE figures?
No, I haven't seen those.
Those are cool. I've reviewed a lot of those for them. There's no Bray one yet, though.
Damn it.
See, until he gets a Bray figure, she's not interested.
Bray or Taker?
Yeah, neither of them have yet.
See, that's not weird. That's how to get her eye. Bray, Taker, maybe a Kane. Once you get that, then it's like, okay.
Yeah, no Kane either, actually.
Balor.
Yeah, Balor. There's Balor. There's a few of him already, actually.
I want the Funko Pop.
Which one? There's like three.
The one with the headdress.
Oh, the FYE.
The one nobody can find. That one.
That one's at FYE. Have you looked? Do you have one?
We don't have FYE in Atlanta.
No. You might be on their website.
Yeah, I've looked. You know, it's something I just have to order it, but it's like I remember when it first came out and it was pre-ordered and it sold out and you couldn't get it.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was afraid he was going to be a pain.
But I saw them put that out and I was like, oh my god, that's awesome.
Oh yeah, that one's really cool.
It's like he needs to join the other wrestling Funko Pops. It's like I need to find the Rollins ones too. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, you better hop on him because I heard that he was being vaulted, I think, which means like once he's gone, he's gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's like the Disney vault, you know, with the DVDs and stuff, where the movies only come out every so many years or whatever.
So they're going to vault Seth Rollins?
Yeah, and I guess Bray is too, and Kevin Owens.
See, I've got Owens and I've got Bray. I just need to find Seth.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while, but I would check FYE, because he does have a all-white version, too.
I know, that's the one I want.
Oh, okay. Well, you better find an FYE. I'll look for you, though, in my travels, if you want.
Only if you feel up to it.
I'll remember. I'll keep an eye out.
I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, those things are... There's a lot of WWE ones coming out now. I mean, there's a new set that's just hitting now of Sasha and Jericho and Ted DiBiase and Iron Sheik and... Jesus, the other one.
Bailey?
Yeah, she's a Toys R Us exclusive, I guess. I don't know if she's out yet. I know Bailey has her, but I don't know...
Think we're ever going to get to a point where the WWE pops are going to be San Diego exclusive?
Probably, and then I'll be mad.
Or you mean you have to take the trip to San Diego and acquire them.
I've been to it once, which is really cool.
Is it insane?
Yes. I went the year the Undertaker Elite, like the Darkness Undertaker, was an exclusive.
Nice.
And that was a really, really cool figure. No, it was really cool because, you know, they have that whole panel, which I don't remember that being there when I was there, but now they have that whole WWE panel, and then, you know, you get to see all the figures in the display case, and then you just want to smash the glass and take them all home. But
Yeah, that's always the favorite thing when Ringside Collectibles gets a hold of all the pictures from San Diego Comic-Con, and then they just put them out, and you just sit there and you're like, oh, nice. Could you see what like, they're coming out with?
Oh, yeah. Like, well, there goes my wallet again.
I was like, I'm just going to make everything cry now, so.
Pretty much. I'm excited, though. I'm sure they'll reveal some good stuff.
Who do you think we're getting this go-around? What does your gut tell you?
Well, I'm sure Kurt Angle and the Hardys will be there. I'm hoping more Goldberg stuff is shown there.
I wonder why.
That's his brother from another mother.
Exactly.
Trying to think who else is really... I mean, you know they got to be capitalizing on the Hardys.
If they're not, they're stupid.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm kind of waiting to see if the Hardys get a hold of the Broken Universe, because the rumor is they're close.
Yeah, isn't Matt teasing it or something?
Matt went off Monday night with the whole delightful and wonderful and everything else on commentary, so they're getting closer, I think, to it. So I kind of wonder if WWE is going to hold back on figures of them until they can do, like, Broken Matt Hardy, or if they've already got it in the works and they're just waiting to release it.
But at the very least, we'll probably get the retro Hardy look and stuff like that, and people gather them up.
Oh, yeah, because they already have... Well, Matt already has had Mattel, so I assume they could... Well, knowing them, they probably scan new stuff of him, but...
He was at WrestleMania, so you know.
That's true.
They probably got a hold of him at some point and went, yep, we'll scan you. You'll be scanned for everything. And, yeah, you'll probably get Kurt. You'll probably get the Hardys...
I'm sure the club will be shown. Well overdue.
Didn't they try? Weren't they working on club figures at one point?
They have a 2-pack that's out right now, but they don't have any elites yet. I really want an elite Gallows because I just think he'd be a cool figure.
Right. Yeah, I remember because I remember seeing the prototypes for them. I was like, oh, those look like they're gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Trying to think of who else just came in that may be getting a figure. They haven't made a Bobby Roode, have they?
No, I was going to say he might be another one.
Yeah, I think he's in the works.
Put him in the NXT, you'd probably do him in the NXT line.
Probably. Yeah, well, apparently there's a Tyler Bate United Kingdom exclusive elite figure that's coming to some online retailer, toysandmasks.com, I guess, in November. But I'm a little bummed that it is a UK exclusive. I mean, I get their pain now because they... don't get half the stuff we do, but...
That's why I try to find someone in the UK, say, hey, can you find this for me and ship this back over? I will pay you money.
I really want that figure. I mean, I really want a Pete Dunne figure.
Oh, Lord help us if they release a Pete Dunne figure.
Oh, yeah. Those two... I saw them at TakeOver when they were here, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah?
You went to TakeOver?
Yeah.
How was that?
Lucky duck.
It was awesome. Oh, that match was amazing.
Yeah, it was a fantastic match.
Which means there's hope. I could get a Trent Seven figure.
Okay, maybe not this year. Maybe in a year or two.
Don't shoot my theory down.
I'm shooting your theory down just for now.
He could win the title. It could happen. It could be a thing.
I want a was it Alistair? Am I saying his name wrong?
Alistair, sorry.
Alistair Black.
She'll take Alistair Black too as well.
I will take an Alistair Black too. Yeah, he's one they haven't done yet.
He'll be an awesome figure.
See, that's where they have the money now. You can make a lot of the NXT figures because everyone has the Owens and the Zanes and the Romans and all that. But you got all these new different characters down in NXT. It's like there's money right there. And I know they don't want to make all the NXT figures just yet because, you know, you save it for the main roster and yada yada yada. But it's like, there's a gold mine with some of the people right now that you could really do.
And it's like old school baseball cards. Like collecting baseball cards, right? You get the rookie card.
Right.
You get the rookie figure when they're down in NXT and they haven't come up to the main roster and they haven't, you know, it's the original incarnation of what the character is before it goes up to the main roster and it's altered and changed. Because, you know, not everybody, I think, comes up directly from NXT and they don't tweak it just a little bit. So, you know, it's like Aleister Black. For what he's doing right now, that would be a cool figure to get.
Yeah, I really hope they make him like that.
You got Ember Moon, they could do something cool
with. Yeah, I'd like Ember Moon. I forgot about her.
Well, iconic duo.
Yeah.
You can go with them. Trying to think who else. I think Cash is Ono's too soon for his return, but they've done, what, one or two Hideos?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had two. Yeah. He has the newer one at Target. I don't know if you guys know about the NXT Target series.
Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Build-A-Figure series.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you buy all the basic figures, you build Bailey's inflatable tube guys.
Oh, that's how you get them. Okay.
And then there's an Elite set, which has Bailey, and she comes with the red tube guy as her accessory. But then there's also No Way Jose's first figure.
Because mm-hmm. I was wondering about the tube men, how they were packaged. Did they just come with Bailey, or you know, build them or something? Or they sold them all, like, you just had to buy the tube men. I was like, wonder if that would be a thing. Because, you know, people would just buy the tube men.
Definitely. Whether they're a wrestling fan or not, I think people would buy those.
I heard that, like, they rent out those tube men every city they go to.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They don't travel with them?
Bailey said on the Austin podcast that they rent them out in every city. He's like,
wonder why. Why bother?
I guess maybe for the house shows they rent them out. For TV, they already have them.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but it would be weird. I figured it would make more sense just to buy
your own.
You don't have to
worry about it.
Just stick it on the back of the truck. It's, you know, it's a prop.
Right, and then it's, you know, a one-time purchase versus every week.
Running it in three different cities, or four different cities every week, and it's like, maybe.
Maybe we could cut some spending.
We're going to fix your books, WWE.
That's right.
We have all the answers.
They should
have cost
us.
Saving.
So, by the way, everyone just tuning in, this is The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are joined by Mr. MBG1211 himself, Matt Goldberg, here talking wrestling figures. And in a couple minutes, we'll be talking Great Balls of Fire, the greatest pay-per-view of all time.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the greatest pay-per-view name of all time.
Yeah, greatest pay-per-view name of all time. I mean, we've had Beware of Dog, and, you know, this is better than Beware of Dog.
I mean, just the fact that you've had the entire Raw roster minus Bray Wyatt running around saying Great Balls of Fire, that's kind of awesome.
Like, there was the one promo a couple weeks ago where he was like, on July 9th, ... I'm not saying the name of the pay-per-view. You cannot make me do it.
He's somehow gotten away with it.
That's funny. He won't say it. I don't know how they say it with a straight face.
I don't know, but it got us the Paul Heyman singing it a couple weeks ago. I thought that just perfect.
Mr. Heyman.
Always on point.
He is always on point.
Yeah, I really want to meet him one day. He seems so cool.
I want to sit under his learning tree. It's like, just teach me.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk. I'll listen.
For real. He seems like a smart dude. He's shared some of my photos of him and Brock I did a long time ago. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it made me, like, scream inside a little bit.
It's like, oh my god!
He knows I exist. Oh my god.
Yeah, that's when you run and hide. It's that's like, right.
So, anyway, I mentioned the pay-per-view. Let's jump into the pay-per-view, which airs this Sunday on the WWE Network. It is Great Balls of Fire. We have 8 matches announced, 7 on the live show, 1 on the pre-show, and that's where we'll begin. Neville defends his Cruiserweight title against Akira Tozawa with Titus O'Neil and the Titus Worldwide brand. I liked it as Titus brand, but Titus Worldwide just doesn't have the same ring to it. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to him, so.
I don't think many people do, but for Tozawa, he works because Tozawa can't talk really well, so that is a plus, right, Lindsay?
Such a weird pairing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I'm not sure I like Tozawa with him, because Tozawa, just to me, is, like, so dynamic on his own. And you could just tell he just did not want to be there with Titus, but somehow they convinced him to do it. Like, they just talked him into it. He's like, okay, all right, we'll just do this then. So, I guess it works. I don't know, but I like Tozawa better on his own.
Yeah, I agree.
So, is the Neville reign over the Cruiserweights over? Will he lose the Cruiserweight title on Sunday, Matt?
I doubt it.
What do you say, Lindsay?
I don't think so. They're going to keep him going. I mean, they could surprise everybody, but Neville's just too strong of a champion to not continue it.
if you're going to do a title change, it's not going to be Great Balls of Fire. If you're going to do a title change for the Cruiserweight title, probably at SummerSlam.
Probably
wait till then. Maybe Giselle gets it there. I'm going Neville. We all in agreement going Neville?
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay?
Agreed.
Well, the 8-Ball totally disagrees with us and picks Tozawa.
Of course it does.
Now, we talked about pop vinyls a little bit ago. There's this double set of pop vinyls that's being put together of Enzo and Cass, this great tag team.
Wow. It's so awkward.
Wow.
So awkward.
No longer a tag team. They fight this Sunday.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Enzo came off on Monday. He cut this passionate promo and then continued his promo after he did the mic drop, which was probably not the best idea. Are you a fan of them breaking these two up, Matt?
No.
Why not?
I like both of them a lot. And that's actually like the most shirts I've ever bought from WWE shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a lot of their stuff. And then, of course, when Uncle Bill came back, I had to buy those with my name on it. But
you gotta support the family.
That's right. I don't really understand why they split them already, considering, like, don't they still sell a lot of merch?
Yeah, they do.
So why would you do that?
Because I think they're ready to push Big Cass on his own. I think, what this was always about, was they needed a way to get Big Cass kind of on the main roster, and this was the way to do it, was because they didn't want to let go of Enzo, they didn't want to let go of Big Cass, so it's like, okay, well, let's put them together and see what they do, and they created this wonderful dynamic together, and this great tag team, and the whole shtick and everything, and it works, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it gets over, and it gets them to the main roster, and it's like, okay, all right, well, the shtick has a shelf life. As much as everybody loves it, eventually people are going to get tired of it. And they sort of missed the boat, again, putting the titles on Enzo and Cass. Like, they really should have done it a long time ago, and they either never got around to it, or they decided they weren't going to do it, or whatever.
Like, their moment was coming at WrestleMania, but then you brought the Hardys in, and that sort of planted Enzo and Cass.
I think they were going to win it that night, I thought so.
That's what I thought as well. It's like, they were the top tag team, and now...
Then, of course, you're going to take a backseat to the Hardys, so...
And you look at the future plans, it's like, the Hardys are in the plans for being the top babyface tag team, and it's like, Enzo and Cass would fall to 2 or 3. It's like, well, maybe, since we can't... They're not putting the belts on them, and then... You really don't want them just floating around doing nothing.
But this is where it's like, you did the shakeup, you could have moved them to SmackDown. And you could have had them be the number one baby faces on SmackDown, especially since American Alpha's been non-existent. Like, where the hell have they even been? So it's like, if you're struggling with Enzo and Cass on Raw, move. Well, Jason Jordan got married. So.
But that was at WrestleMania. Right after WrestleMania.
Well, they haven't been seen since.
Okay.
Saying he's taking an extended honeymoon.
Well, yeah, you know, well, they work the house shows, but yeah, they've been back on TV. They were back on TV this week, so kind of.
But anyway, back to the point. You know, you had that whole superstar shakeup.
You did, but then you moved the New Day over, and then, you know, again, they were the higher team on the pecking order. It sucks because they're a great duo. But then you look back in history, and we'll go to the Attitude Era for this history fact. The New Age Outlaws lasted 2 years. For as great as tag team as they were, popular as they were done by 2000.
But they broke up, got back together, broke up, got back together, broke up, got to back together for years. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were always involved in each other's lives in some way, shape, or form. Whether they were feuding or whether they were quasi-working together, it didn't matter what promotion they were in.
Yeah,
they were always doing something together.
When they reunited back in TNA, but it was still like, but you can see where the shelf life is.
Yeah, and I think they tried to get ahead of the curve. I still feel like they missed the opportunity to put the titles on them, but Enzo and Cass have a long life on the roster, and it could be at some point you have them get over their differences, they get back together, they win the tag titles, and then, you know, rinse, wash, repeat, you know, wash, rinse, repeat kind of thing, where you have them break up, get back together, you know, that kind of thing, the way most great tag teams do.
I feel bad for Enzo.
I do feel bad for Enzo.
He just feels like he's going to get lost in the shuffle at some point.
I feel bad for Cass.
I thought he cut the best promo he's ever done when they split up the first time.
Oh, when they split? Yeah, Cass delivered a great promo, but that's
that was it.
That's it. He, that's
But here's the big question. Who is... It's like, we know who Enzo is, right?
Yeah, we don't know Cass.
Yeah, we have no idea who Cass is. So it's like, who is Colin Cassidy without Enzo Amore?
Right.
I mean, right now, it's like, they can't even get... They didn't even have a shirt queued up for the poor guy. He's wandering around in a black t-shirt. Like, plain black t-shirt. It looks terrible.
He didn't even have a Titantron or music.
Yeah, it's just, he came out... It's like, that first week after the split... They both come out to the same music, and they're like, all right, this is awkward. Y'all need to settle this in the divorce, who gets what, because you guys can't be doing this every week, you know? So, I guess this was just a really sudden thing, because obviously they had nothing ready for it. Like, they just all came in to work one day and decided, hey, let's split up Enzo and Cass, because reasons.
Because it was like, oh, we're going to split up, no, we're going to keep them together, they're going to feud with the revival, then it's like, no, we're going to split them up. So it's like, oh. All right, that's where we're going. Cool, I guess. I don't know. It's Cass will get all the chances in the world because he's 7 foot tall, and you know you can't teach that. But at some point, you look at guys like Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. It's like they have talent too, and they're big. You can push them as well.
You push the hell out of them.
Just throwing that out there. So, in terms of the match, who you got, Matt? Enzo or Cass?
I'm assuming Cass, even though I prefer Enzo, but I'm assuming he's just going to get booted to the head and he'll be done, so.
Lindsay?
As much as this hurts, it's going to be Cass. You can't break them up. You can't break them up and have Cass lose to Enzo.
Right.
You just can't do that. Not the first match.
Ability, yeah.
If you're trying to build him as this giant, yeah, no. Not to Enzo. Not right now. Maybe later, but not right now.
You know, WWE is known for those slip-on-the-banana-peel finishes. They could as well make Enzo pick up the win over Cass. They shouldn't, because Cass should beat him handily. I think he's moving on to Big Show following this, so it would make sense for him to get the win. I'm going Cass as well, but I wouldn't really be surprised if they do the slip-on-the-banana-peel and like, hey, yeah, Enzo won, and then on Monday, Cass, like, destroys him.
The only way I can see that working is if Big Show somehow helps Enzo, either with a distraction or with something else, and Cass comes out, and basically Cass gets distracted, and Enzo picks up the win. And then, yeah, like you said, Cass either destroys him immediately right after the match, or that following Monday, where they do a rematch.
Yeah, the 8-Ball agrees with us, Big Cass is going over. The Intercontinental Championship on the line. Miz defends against Dean Ambrose. Hopefully, he will not be wearing his white pants and they won't slip down the middle.
Yeah, that's right. My dad was watching it because I was doing some photography or whatever, and he starts yelling for me to come into the other room to see it. And I just started laughing when I saw Miz's pants. It was really bad.
The more he kept spreading his legs, the farther the rip went. And you were about to see everything from the Miz.
Yeah, thank God he was wearing underwear. That's all I can say. Because that would have been really awkward if he wasn't.
I don't know what they would have done.
Go to break, go to break. Someone just go to break and get him a towel.
For the love of God, somebody jump on top of him and just hold him down.
Maurice, get on top of him. Just do it. Or Bo, give him your bandana.
Yeah, somebody get the man some duct tape.
Do something and cover that up. So this is the rematch from last month. What do you think, Lindsay?
Miz. It's going to be Miz. This feud has to end. Ambrose have been feuding for forever, and I want this feud to end. As good as they are together, you've got Miz and his Miztourage with Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel and Maurice, and you're building that, you're growing that, so it's time to move Dean Ambrose on to something else. I don't know what, but move him on to something else, and move Miz on to something else, because, yeah. Needs to be Miz.
Matt, who you got?
I hope it's Miz, too.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think it's going to be Miz. Because Miz, again, he pointed it out Monday. It's like, Dean really didn't do much for the IC title. At least when the Miz has it, you know, they try to put a focus on it. He mentions it in all the promos and takes it with him wherever he goes. It's like, Miz is a great Intercontinental Champion. And you could put Miz... You have more baby faces for Miz to fight than heels for Dean to fight. So it's like... Do we really want to see a Dean Drifter feud for the Intercontinental title? I don't think that works. I think you can find Miz something to do. Maybe you do Seth Rollins and Miz. Maybe you do Finn and Miz. You do something different. Yeah, I'm going Miz as well. Of course, the 8-Ball disagrees, picks Dean Ambrose. Wants to be difficult. Stupid 8-Ball. Up next, 30-minute Iron Man match for the WWE Raw Tag Team titles. Cesaro and Sheamus defend against the Hardy Boys. What was your thoughts when the Hardys returned, Matt?
I was excited for them. I mean, you know, I got to know Jeff a little bit when I was at TNA, and he was really nice. So, you know, I wish him well. And, you know, I want some new figures of him. So I was more excited about that, honest.
You have your stuff right there. It's like, yep, that's my reasoning. It's right there.
Bias. That's always what I think. I was like, oh, that'd make a cool figure or whatever.
Just promoting the brand. I need content. I need content for the Instagrams, the YouTubes, the WrestleZones. I need the content. I need to get put over the Hardys. I got it. It's all about the content. We understand. But it's cool they're doing a 30-minute tag team Iron Man match.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
It's been
a while.
It's different.
I can't remember the last time they did one. Was it? Did they do one with the American Alpha? No, that was the 2-3 falls they did back in NXT. I don't think they did the Iron Man match. It's been a while for a tag team one, to say the least. It should be fun, and these four guys, they can work, they can go.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Lindsay?
As much as I love Sheamus and Cesaro, I just have a feeling the Hardys are going to win this one.
It would make sense for the Hardys to win this one.
It makes sense for the Hardys to win this one, especially since I think there are the rumors that Matt and Jeff are very, very close to getting a hold of the Broken Universe, and depending on how close they are, we could see it.
Also, Matt had the baby, or Rebby had the baby.
Yeah, Rebby's had the baby. She's recovered, so they can put the titles back on the Hardys, and it will be okay, but also at the same time, I can see how the Hardys losing would cause someone to start to crack and break just a little bit. So, I don't know. Like, I'm going to go Hardys just because I feel like that's the natural direction. Because Sheamus is getting ready to leave to go do a movie, I think. Thank you, Josh Duhamel.
For his, interview on Monday Night Raw.
So, it makes sense to take the titles off of Sheamus and Cesaro for a while.
Yeah, and I don't think Sheamus is... Again, this is one of those things where if Sheamus is gone, he probably will be at Raw's, but he probably won't work in house shows. So, sort of like the Hardys, we're still doing TVs, but not house shows. Yeah, I'm going Hardys. You going Hardys too, Matt?
Yeah, even though they don't need it, but I don't see why they would lose.
The Magic 8-Ball is going with the Hardys as well. Match Lindsay is interested in, Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins.
Yay!
Yeah.
I won't say what I actually called this match, but... I am interested in it nonetheless.
So, yeah, she's looking forward to this. Are you looking forward to this one, Matt?
I don't know. I guess I feel Bray's gotten kind of stale lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like a random feud.
It felt like, since Bray's come to Raw, and it's like, they felt like they were pushing him towards Finn. And then they stopped pushing him towards
Finn. That would have been cool, the two of them.
And I think the plan is to do it, but I think they're saving it for, like, SummerSlam, where they kick it off, and it's going to be a long series of matches. So it's like, let's wait?
Well, I think it's more Braun got hurt, and everything changed.
That's exactly what happened. Braun got hurt, so they did the 5-way, and so they sort of diverted all the plans. And coming out of this, they want to promote the video game with Rollins on the cover, and they're doing something small. Like, Rollins had no direction, Bray had no direction, because they moved them. They just shifted everything around. It's like, okay, so we're in this awkward spot. So it's like, hey, these are two main eventers. Put them together. Both former world champions. Put them together. Should be a good match. Hopefully there's no hocus pocus things that happen, and you actually let them have a real match.
Right. Because
the last real match Bray's had on pay-per-view was the 5-way, but the last singles one, I can't even remember because it's been a while since he's had a singles match without any House of Horrors or Bugs on the Ring or whatever. Like, his, you know, the big match he lists on pay-per-view, the really good match, was the Elimination Chamber back in February, which was awesome when he won the title. But it's like, Bray needs this match to be really good, so it shut up the critics. Because there's a lot of them. Like, he had a great match with Roman, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago at this point? But on pay-per-view, everyone's like, oh my god, Bray always has crappy matches on pay-per-view, and Bray always loses, and yada, yada, yada. But if you actually look at it, Bray wins more on pay-per-view than he loses, but we stick to the narrative that's out there, because people like pushing the narrative.
I feel like, though, that the thing with this feud is it could be more interesting, but it could also be more vicious. And I feel like they have backed off of Bray a lot, and they're not letting him do as much. Like, I can appreciate you hold Bray back, you make him a special attraction, you don't see him wrestle a lot, he doesn't come in front of the live crowd a lot, but that's when Bray's really, really, really good, is when he's in front of the live crowds, because he feeds off the energy, and he's more exciting, he's more interesting than just being a video.
I mean, and you look, remember the one moment, him and Kurt Angle, that moment, like, was like, that's box office. Because like you said, when Bray's in front of that crowd, he's box office.
But, you know, backstage, you know, in front of a camera, he's doing his thing and he's doing it well, but he doesn't have that same energy, so it doesn't come across the same. It's like, I feel like a lot of the stuff with Seth, it's like, you look at Seth's history, you look at Bray's history, it's like, there are a lot more shots that could have been fired on both sides in terms of, you know, it's like, you know, Seth could have just basically looked at Bray and be like, look, dude, you let your family fall apart. Like, Harper walked away from you because of Orton, and then Orton betrayed you and burned down your house. You're not who you say you are.
There's so much symbolism in that.
Yeah, there is a lot of symbolism in that, seeing as what's going on in Bray's life right now. But anyway, it's, you know, Bray let his family go. Bray let his family disintegrate. You know, the once just utterly badass Wyatt family. It's like, you go back and you watch them when they first debuted, and it was Wyatt's and Shield. If you want to go all the way back to that history, and you watch those matches, they were really, really, really good. And then the Wyatt family has just sort of petered off, and the Shield broke up. You know, it's like, you could have Seth and Bray reference that history and move forward with it, and just all the shots fired in terms of Seth betraying his brothers and joining the Authority, and then, you know, it's like him getting hurt is kind of karma for all that, and losing the title and having to give up the title and then never really getting it back, you know?
Yeah, I see that.
There's so many different stories you could have told with this, and it's very slapped together. It's just kind of meh. Like, I'm probably the biggest Bray Wyatt fan there is, and to me it's just kind of meh. It's like, can you have Bray do something other than wandering around a desert?
I mean, he did find the light for the first time in ever.
I hope they slathered him up with suntan lotion, because he probably burns easily. But in terms of this match, I don't even know who's going to win.
I don't know. I feel like Bray, like you said, there's just so much they could do with him, and they just don't.
They don't know how to write him. It's like, they moved him to Raw, and it was like, okay, alright, you're moving him to Raw, and they pointed him at Finn, and they backed off of Finn, and it's like, okay, alright. And they pointed him at Seth, and I was actually really excited for Seth, because out of all the members of the Shield, Seth and Bray are kind of on that same, like, intellectual level.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's like Roman and Dean are not. So it's like, you could do a really psychological feud with Seth and Bray, and they just didn't go there with it. They pretty much were like, oh, okay, we're going to feud because Seth insulted Bray, and we're just going to go from there.
Right. I don't know. I think Bray just has all this potential. Like, his character has all this potential, and then, like, I've lost a lot of interest in him because they just don't, like, he always, like, preaches all this stuff, and then he gets his ass kicked, and it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And he just goes on to the next person, and it's like,
he can get the win, but never build the momentum.
Right.
And you look what he did when the stuff leading into the five-way last month. He was cutting amazing promos. Like, the passionate stuff he was cutting about Brock without actually saying Brock's name was some of the best mic work he's done in a while. It was very passionate. You could see he was inspired by it all. And then he didn't win the match, and now he's been... And then you haven't seen him fight. He fought one time since then, and he lost to Roman. It's like, they don't let Bray get on a roll at all on TV. They don't let him, like, when he wrestles on TV, it's once every few weeks. It's like, you can have him just beat up guys. And, like, once you start building his momentum, it's like, then it's like, okay, if he loses a match here or there, it's like, okay, but he's beaten this person on TV. And it's like, you see a succession of wins. and it would build him. And
you could have him beating up random guys. You could have him lurking around backstage. Like, I think that's the biggest thing is Bray is so isolated from the roster now that it's like he's disconnected. And there's no... It's like an interest is waning because it's like Bray just doesn't randomly show up. Like, they try to make it seem random, but it's like, oh, hey, there's Seth, which means Bray's going to come. It's like, you know, at some, you know, it's like you could just have Bray just sort of wandering around in the background, creeping people out, watching people, stalking people, following people. Like, kind of the stuff that they used to have him do a little bit.
Yeah, I miss his old stuff.
You know, back when the Wyatt family jumped Daniel Bryan backstage and threw him off the loading dock, which still makes me laugh to this day.
Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Splat. You know, stuff like that, where they had him just lurking backstage. And he finds people. It's like, you know, he should be... I feel like he should be stalking Seth, almost. Where he just would get obsessed with someone.
They treat him like he's a megastar, but they don't push him like he's the megastar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's supposed... He has the aura of the top guy, but it's like, just because you write him with the top guy stuff doesn't. But it's like his character, top guy, big time person on the roster. It's like, but then you don't back it up with the credibility. If you actually gave it some credibility with a consistent basis, it's like it would be awesome. Like Bray should have beat Randy at WrestleMania.
He should have.
It just should have happened. Should have been a thing, especially since the belt went to Jinder.
But would you want Bray Wyatt losing the title to Jinder Mahal?
No.
No, but it wouldn't have happened because they were on two different brands. It just, you could have done something more and just, again, he beat AJ Styles and John Cena and everyone else in that chamber, and then he beat John Cena and AJ Styles on that following SmackDown. It's like he was riding high on that momentum. And then it hit the bugs at WrestleMania and then the House of Horrors, and it's like, you gotta build him back up. And all in a roundabout way, he needs this win more than Seth, and Seth is very stale at the moment because his feud with Joe didn't really do anything. And if anyone needed to move to SmackDown, it was Seth Rollins, but they didn't do it. It's a roundabout way getting back to the match. I'm going Bray. Matt?
I hope Bray.
Lindsay?
Yeah, Bray needs the momentum more than Seth does. Especially if you're going to be pointing Bray at Finn at some point, or if you're going to be pointing Bray at Brock at some point, you need to start building his momentum, and you need to start building that resume again of people that he's beaten. And getting him a win over Seth Rollins, I think, would be a good start, honestly.
Seth doesn't need this win.
Seth doesn't need it. He'll probably get it, but he doesn't need it. So I'm going Bray.
The eight ball says Seth Rollins. Up next, the Women's Championship of Monday Night Raw is defended when Alexa Bliss defends against Sasha Banks.
This is going to be good.
There's no poles for them to climb, so this should be better than, you know, the Bayley stuff. That's for sure. These two girls supposedly really, you know, don't like one another, so that adds element to the match. Should make it should really good. If they give them 15 minutes, it should be a pretty good match. I figure they'll get about 10. So it'll be an alright match. Alexa's on fire. We've been saying that for months. She's just dominant. But then there's Sasha, and she's the legit boss. But everyone on the internet, like, who are fans of Sasha, would be like, yeah, Sasha should win. But then there's the anti-Sasha fans who's like, she's had the belt three times already. She don't need the belt, blah, 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 blah. That's how this goes.
Speaking, I feel like Sasha is kind of getting a little stale as well. I love Sasha. Don't get me wrong. But Sasha's another one of those that is kind of stalling out a little bit because they don't really know, I think, what to do with her. Because, again, they did give her everything pretty much up front. Like, she came up to the main roster, and she did the Team Bad stuff, and then when she came out of that, they pointed her directly at that title. And she and Charlotte had that 6 to 8 month feud over that title, however long it was.
Right.
So they gave her the, you know, three title wins really close together. And now it's, okay, you've already shot that. The only thing you really have left for Sasha right now that's already pre-built that you can go to for her is Sasha and Bayley. And they're not going to hit that yet. They're not saving that for SummerSlam. They're going to do that at Mania. Right. That's very apparent because, you know, they're keeping them as friends as opposed to having Sasha turn.
And that their entrance together on Monday was just adorable.
Yeah. So, you know, Alexa right now, she's absolutely killing it. She is the top heel in that division. There is no question. She's running that division. she's taken over Charlotte's role on Raw, and she's owning it.
And just by looking at the television, you can see where she's going. Nia Jax is looming. And that's the probably... this match with Sasha, it's like, this is a placeholder match. No way Sasha should win the belt here, because Nia's the match. And that's SummerSlam. You're going to get that slow build to that, which we've been seeing. And that's the best way to put it. Like, you really want to go with Sasha because she's Sasha and she's awesome, but she's had it. She don't need it. Bliss is on a roll. I'm going Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I hope she keeps it.
All right, so Matt's on board for Alexa. What are your thoughts on Alexa and how she's grown over the last, I don't know, 8 months?
I like her a lot, and I think she's great on the mic. She's great in the ring. You know, I feel Sasha, like you said, lost some momentum. I think, I know it's a different show, but I think Charlotte lost a lot of momentum moving over to SmackDown, too.
They turned her babyface, and she lost some momentum.
Yeah, she's just like, oh, just another...
But I think they slowed her down for a reason, because they're going to ramp her back up at some point for Naomi, whether it's Battleground or SummerSlam. I would assume SummerSlam is that direction, because they just redid the belt, so I don't think she's going to take the belt at Battleground, because that would be just a waste of money.
Right.
Lighting that belt up, and then, hey, I'm going to take it off you in 3 weeks.
Right.
Money well spent.
Well, as we already discussed, we're planning on overhauling their budget and saving them tons of money, so...
Exactly. So, you're going Alexa, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Lindsay?
It stays on Alexa till SummerSlam. There's no reason to change it. As much as I love Sasha, there's no reason to put it on her right now. Not with Alexa on a roll like she is, because then it's, you've got to burn the rematch and set up Alexa and Nia for SummerSlam, and there's just... completely unnecessary. It's like, just take her through.
All right. I'm going with Alexa. The eight ball is going with Sasha Banks. Two matches to go here on the program. This is The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by GoWork.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow during the day Instagram.com/MBG1211 with the guy we're talking to right now. But we're going to get into the ambulance match. Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, Lindsay.
It's the continuation of the feud. The feud that everybody wants, but everybody doesn't want. I have to give the props to Braun on this. He looks like a boss. He just came back and, he bounced Roman off the side of that ambulance like it was nothing.
Yeah, he did.
And I mean, honestly, I'm okay with this conclusion being an ambulance match. You get one more with Braun and Roman. So, fine with that. Love the build for this. Braun learned from his father. He learned how to sneak attack people, which for somebody that big, he should not be that sneaky. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Really should not be that sneaky, but he is. So, and this is the hard part, because...
You don't want to do it. So, I was talking to Tim earlier today.
Okay.
About the spot from Monday night.
Okay.
Where Roman came out of the ambulance and stuff like that. It's like, my thought to him was like, the cooler spot for Roman would have been coming out of the back of it and spearing Braun that way.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody was expecting.
But it's like, the thought of it, it's like, well, maybe they didn't want him planting his head in the concrete. Maybe that's why they did it the way they did, and the spear off the stage instead. But it's like, that would have been the cooler spot. Even you could have just done, the Superman punch out of it and gone from there.
You could throw in the doors open, and he does the hand motion, and then he just punches Braun. But I think that's what everybody was expecting for him to come out of the back, so that's why they were like, oh, hey, let's have him come out the front.
Just wasted more time. That's basically what they did.
Yeah, they burned some time on this.
The struggle is we don't want to pick Roman Reigns.
The struggle is who's getting pointed at Lesnar first. Are they going to do Roman and Lesnar, or are they going to do Braun and Lesnar?
It appears Roman.
Then if they're doing Roman and Lesnar at SummerSlam for the title, then you needed to have Roman win this match. He's going up against Brock. He needs to come in looking strong, and beating Braun Strowman would certainly do that. I'm trying to remember, who won the last one? Was it Roman or was it Braun?
Braun won it.
And Braun's been on a roll. Braun can easily recover the loss from Roman, I think.
Because remember, Braun beat him, and then, they took Roman to the back for the ambulance. And then,
right.
And he ran through the door.
Right.
So, even though, Roman was sort of taking credit, yeah, I won, I totally beat him. when he lost, but that's beside the point.
I mean, I'm going to have to go with Roman, just because, again, you really shouldn't be having Roman lose. You had him lose the last match. It's been enough time that's passed. Everybody's kind of forgotten about it. If you're going, again, if you're going to be pointing Roman at Lesnar, he needs to look strong. Roman beats Braun. Braun can easily recover. I'm going Roman.
So, Matt, what are your thoughts on the ambulance match, Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman?
Strowman's probably my favorite guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like him to win only because he's been gone, but, I mean, obviously, like Lindsay said, he could just bounce back from it, but I would like him to go over because I think he's awesome, and that's my story.
Do you not want to see Roman Reigns as WWE Universal Champion after SummerSlam?
I would rather someone else. I have nothing against Roman, he doesn't need it.
Exactly. They're trying to crown him as champion with a belt he doesn't need. Because we've already crowned him twice. Or three times at this point.
Right. That's why it's nice to even see Jinder having the belt. It's someone you never would expect.
You look at Braun, it's like, he has all the momentum in the world. It's like,
oh yeah,
go with him.
He'd be an awesome champ, because, you know, he's like unstoppable, pretty much.
He's everything you have in Brock, but, you know, he's there he's there every week.
Right? Very true.
All right, so you're going Braun Strowman?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go Roman, and the 8-Ball's agreeing with me.
Well, you need a new 8-Ball, then.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He gives us problems. Universal title in our main event. Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, Lindsay, thoughts, opinions, go.
I want Joe to win this match so bad. I'm going to cry when he doesn't. Because we all know how this is going to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know how this is going to go. Like, there is no if, ands, or buts that Brock is winning this match. But it makes me really, really, really sad. Joe is not going to win it because they have done a fantastic job building this match and making Joe look absolutely badass. Love the stuff on Monday where he went looking for Brock after Brock was talking smack and went to find him and kill him. All the pull-apart brawls, all just the exchanges back and forth, the fights, all of it has just been so, so good. I'm heartbroken that it's only one match. I want an entire feud between these two because I just love how they've played Joe in this, and I love how they've involved Heyman and how it's all culminated to this point. Like, they've done just a perfect job with it. All that being said, I'm going to have to get my box of tissues because it's going to be Brock.
What are your thoughts, Matt? What do you think of the build?
I would prefer Joe to win, of course, since he's there every week and, you know, he'd be new champ and stuff. But, you know, just hearing that supposedly it's a one and done type match is a bummer because, you know, Brock isn't there to defend it. And it's just kind of annoying because it's like the belt doesn't mean anything because it's just missing for months at a time. And I don't know.
So
Brock doesn't need it either, you know?
No, he doesn't need it. So what's your pick? So the intern.
I assume Brock will win, but I would like Joe to win. So I'll just go with Brock, I guess.
Okay. Just need to make it clear for the person who will.
Sorry.
You know, who's going to recap this, Brent, who's going to recap this, go, hey, here are all your picks in a nice fancy spreadsheet. So whenever I ask, like, yep, this is the reason why. So he hears it and go, okay, I can write this down and send it. Perfect.
Perfect.
They've been doing like this MMA, like wheel fight feel to it. It's like the pull apart brawl and the interview on Monday where like Joe's chasing him down and Joe choking him out the week before. It's like the build has been awesome and the match, I hope lives up to the hype because it's been so good. They've done a great job. It's like, Joe
yeah,
has
I hope
all
it's
this
a good match, to Joe, be honest.
Joe has this momentum. It's like, it's one of those things, like, you look back, like, past title runs, you're like, I don't like Ryback, but, like, he had all that momentum that one year. It's like, they could have put the belt on him, but they were looking for something else, and you understand that, but it's like, ooh, Joe has this momentum. Like, same with Braun. It's like, these guys have the momentum, and it's like, you're gonna kill off their momentum, and I understand why, and the reason is Roman Reigns, and it's like, we're gonna kill the momentum for that. It's like, you got something here. You got fans clamoring for it. Like, they want these opportunities to see these guys just dominate, and it's like, just do it.
But the thing is, it's like, if they go ahead and they do if they do Roman and Brock at SummerSlam and they put the title on Roman at SummerSlam, you can then have Joe come in like a house of fire after Roman, and he can rebuild that momentum very, very quickly if he could just continues, if they just write him and book him the way that they have in this feud. Because Roman and Joe had a really good match.
They did. But here's the thing. Because Joe beat him then and beat him before, the next time they fight, Roman's going over.
Like, maybe, maybe not.
That's the thing. You're going to be, if Roman's getting this belt, he's not losing it anytime soon. Just so everyone's aware, he's not going to lose it anytime soon. Maybe he'll lose it to John Cena at WrestleMania. Who knows? Could be a thing. This build has been great, and I hope the match delivers on Sunday. I really, really do.
I think it will, just because it's not going to be a wrestling match. This is going to be a fight.
That's what
this
I want.
This is going to be an all-out knockdown, drag-out fight. This is not going to be them, you know, talking, building this up, and then, you know, throwing suplexes and that kind of thing. It's going to be, they're just going to brawl with each other. And yes, suplex will happen, and chokeholds will happen, and coquina clutches will happen, and all that other stuff, but it's mostly just going to be them trying to knock the crap out of each other
the entire time. They're going to spend the first few minutes, they're just going to brawl. They should brawl in the ring, brawl around the ring. They should just beat the crap out of each other, throw them in the barricades and all this fun stuff, and just sort of beat it on each other. And beat on each other for 15, 20 minutes and give us this real fight. And this would be Brock's longest match since Dean. I think Dean, maybe, over a year ago. Because everything with Goldberg was really short. And he was in the Rumble. I guess the Rumble was as long as appearance, because everything else was really, really short. And even the Orton match was just him pounding on Orton for like 10 minutes and really wasn't that long. He really didn't do much. So, yeah. Anyway. I'm going with Brock Lesnar to retain, even though Joe should get the belt. A-Ball agrees with that. So, there is all of that. Again, people out there in the internet land, you go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork and post your picks when the official card is released on Friday. We'll put the thing up. You can make your picks. You can also tweet them at WildTalkRadio or at Rock Radio Show on the Twitter for the official WTR Pick'em. We'll reveal the results on Sunday night on Russell Talk Radio Live after Great Balls of Fire. This is where we say, hey, Matt, tell us about your social medias and all the fun stuff you're doing.
Sure. So you could find me every week now on WrestleZone.com on my Figure Friday column every Friday, where I review one of the newest figures I picked up recently. Also, every Monday, there is my show on WrestleZone.com on their YouTube and Facebook pages, called Figure to Photo, where it shows how I make my cool photography, my wrestling figure photography. You could find on my Instagram at Instagram.com/MBG1211. You could follow me on Facebook at Facebook.com/MBGfilms and YouTube at YouTube.com/MBG1211. I am developing some new content for YouTube finally, so hopefully later in the year have some new fun stuff on there. And you could follow my popular wrestling figure news Twitter at twitter.com/WWETNAfigures. It has over 15,000 followers now, and that's where I share a lot of my news if it doesn't make it to WrestleZone. So check that out. And yeah, I think that's about it.
And find them at all local Chicago area toy stores eventually.
That's right.
He's there sometimes, maybe 10, 20 times a week. Something like that.
Don't give away my spots.
Redacted. It's all redacted. Don't follow him there.
He's going to edit it later.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you can't spoil my figure places, man.
So there you go.
Once again, thanks so much to Matt for coming on and joining us. Remember, everybody, you can check him out at his social media links, which he just plugged. We'll plug one more before the end of the show. But speaking of plugs, you got stuff to plug.
Oh, do I? Bet I do. Saturday Night Midnight is CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. This week, we're doing the Greater Than Great debate on one-hit wonder songs.
Ew.
So check it out. It's available. The bracket is now available at Super Radio Live on the Twitter. Super Radio Live is on Facebook. SuperRadioLive.com. Hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies. I'll probably be going off on some stuff too. We'll also have WW2K18 stuff on the show. Me and Sub will talk about some stuff as well. Check it out. Super Radio Saturday Night. Midnight is Sunday. Russell Talk Radio 11 p.m. Eastern. Right after Great Balls of Fire. We're going to recap everything that goes down on the show. live right after it happens with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega Monday Nights Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. WTR Sims will be available on Tuesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. If you're listening to this before Thursday evening, which you probably will be, there'll be a special live edition of WTR Sims at 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday night, which is, you know, like a few hours from when you're probably listening to this. You can listen to the, come watch us then. We're going to do the Great Balls of Fire Sims and WTR at the Beach Sims, since we had some issues on Tuesday, so come check it out. But every Tuesday, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, place to be for WTR Sims at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We will be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down at Great Balls of Fire, including the SmackDown Throwdown and NXT Rundown. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, YouTube.com/RackRadioShow. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow. Google, Stitcher, iTunes, we're all over the place. Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called these days, Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, Instagram.com/MBG1211. Wrestling figure photography, as because, you know, we just talked to Mr. MBG1211, Matt Goldberg, so please go check out his stuff. It's awesome, it's amazing. And he's amazing, as you just heard. Fightboot.com and, well, Gerwick.net. Can't forget them. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of The Rack. We will be back live next week. Till then, I'm Lizzie Ward. He's Rock. And we'll see you then. This is The Rack. Bye. What else do I have to say? Chip Nixon back again, Moonshot, Woodstock, Watergate, punk rock, Bacon, Reagan, Palestine, terror on the airline, Ayatollahs in Iran, Russians in Afghanistan, Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, foreign debts, homeless vets, AIDS, crack, burning pits, hypodermics on the shore, China. WildTalkRadio.com.